and Company pregame show on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Today's game is brought to you in part by The Giant Company, DHL Supply Company, Hendrick Center, Gingrich Memorials, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, Middletown VFW Post 1420, The Middletown Moose, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, Daly's Golf, Jack's Auto Sales, Middletown Lumber, Brownstone Cafe, Dominic D. DeFrancisco, American Legion Post 594, J&J Pizzeria, Hughes Awards, and by the Middletown Area Alumni Association. Now, let's take it out to the game with the WMSS Sports Crew. Thank you. And a pleasant good evening, everyone, from Roscoe Warner Field here in Susquehanna Township. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy with you. It's Middletown Blue Raider football in the Giant Company pregame show. Middletown at 3-2, taking on Susquehanna Township at 4-1. Middletown off its big victory last weekend against West Perry, taking on a team that beat Susquehanna Township. I should say a team that lost to West Perry in Susquehanna Township. And it's a great matchup. And again, Brian, last week we thought this West Perry team is going to show where Middletown's at with its football program. They're going to get another test here tonight.
Well, let's not poo-poo that for a second. You said we're going to find out where Middletown is after that West Perry game. We found out.
Yeah.
And what we found out is the program is very strong right now, and they are very confident, and it's a young team that fears nothing. They're going to see a team on the other sideline tonight, very young as well, a team that has experienced defeat just once this year and has a high-flying powered passing game that Middletown has not seen the likes of this year. That's going to be the adjustment this week to see if Middletown can go from defending a team that wanted to run the ball all the time to opposed to a team that loves to put it in the air.
Well, we'll hear what Scott Govern, head coach of Middletown, says about tonight's game and last week's performance when we come back with the Giant Company pregame show. It's Middletown at Susquehanna Township. More after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Giant Company, nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. And from our table to your table, there's Giant Direct, allowing you to pick up your groceries without leaving your car. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. Giant Company, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Hendrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hendrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hendrick Center, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Daly's Golf on East Main Street in Middletown does everything automotive. Tune-ups, inspection, tires, exhaust, brakes, even towing. Daly's Golf is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's Daly's Golf, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Michelle's Creations with you in mind proudly serves the Middletown area. Michelle and Doug Lutz are proud Blue Raider alumni. Michelle's Creations with you in mind has flowers, centerpieces, bouquets, wreaths, and they're a member of the Teleflora Network. Their number is 717-944-5425 or online at creationswithyouinmind.com.
The pregame show alongside of Middletown head football coach Scott Govern. Coach, we got to talk about last week because a huge win for this program, a huge win for this team over West Perry, a team coming in undefeated, and a lot of people doubted this team, but I know one place there was not doubt was in that locker room. Tell me about this, the mindset of this team going into that game and what was so successful.
It was a huge win for our program and our kids, but we prepared them all week with the ability to, like, this is what they do, this is what they do well, this is what we do well. And we just thought where our matchups were that we were better than they were in matchups, and we kept you know, showing the kids that, demonstrating it to them, and actually showing them on film, and they started buying into it that we can compete with these guys, and we can actually beat these guys. So for us, it wasn't like an upset. We thought we could beat these guys, and we produced.
The other thing that's important in a game like that is when you've been in tight games, when you've been in close contests, being able to produce at those times. And once again, this team, having been in close games all season long, when it came down to it and you needed plays to be executed at the right time, especially that screen pass at the end, they were able to do so.
Yeah, our kids for some reason don't panic. And I don't know, I don't have an explanation for why they're like that, but they just have that resilient attitude, and they just never seem to be rattled when things are going crazy. I'm the one dying inside screaming at sometimes, but you know, you got to fake it to make it. But those kids just keep pushing forward, and there's no quit in them, which is a great trait that we have, and I think it's a reflection of our community. We're resilient people, and that's how our kids are brought up too.
Another guy who's been resilient for you, because his workload has increased, and just a sophomore, but Gavin Paul is playing some fantastic football right now and is one of those guys who has shouldered a lot of the offensive load.
Gavin has worked so much harder than anyone else on our team all offseason. When we had basketball last year, other kids would just go, I can't lift today because I have basketball. Gavin would sneak into the weight room and lift. He worked out religiously all off season, so I am not surprised by his success, because the kid just puts in the time, and he just mentally is a physically tough kid.
We're at the midway point of the season now. It's the team's 3-2, and there's a lot of goals I know that you guys set at the beginning of the year. What's the message right now at this point, considering, you know, the way the team's played so far, but there's still a lot of tough games left to go?
Our message is, like, each week we do a theme. You know, 2 weeks ago against Boiling Springs, our theme was basically, you know, camaraderie, playing together, team effort. Today, this whole week, we've been talking about playing a complete game, because we still don't feel like we've put together a complete game. So we have to do that in order to beat Susquehanna. And if we put a complete game in, I told the kids we'll have success, and they know that and believe in it, but that's our theme for this week.
They got a fast dude over on that. A lot of fast dudes, but they've got one specifically who has Division I school that he's going to be going to. Lex Cyrus, what do you do when you've got somebody who just has jets like that, where I know we've got some fast guys, but, I mean, what do you have to do to try to limit him? Or is it something where, you know, he's going to probably get a few of his, and you've got to maybe take care of everything else?
What we have to do is limit as many possessions as we can for them offensively, because they're so explosive. So we have to do ball control today and control the clock and grind it out with them. And then he's going to get his touches, obviously. And when you get situations like this where you have kids with this level of speed, we have to take good angles of pursuit to get this kid and not think, you know, go to where you think he's going to be. You just have to take perfect angles. And we have to pressure their quarterback to stress him out and make him release the ball quicker than he already does anyway, just so things aren't good and his timing's off.
Last thing is about the weather, because, I mean, if it rains tonight, if it's a little sloppy, I feel like that sort of benefits us at this point. Are you maybe looking forward to maybe some precipitation tonight?
I hope it rains all night. You know, nothing against our poor band and cheerleaders. I hope it pours all night, because we're mutters anyway and we grind, so that suits us better. So the wetter the better for us.
Good luck tonight.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Middletown head football coach Scott Govern back with more after this here on the pregame show here on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, his number 717-526-4300, or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Gingrich Memorials is the oldest business in Middletown, celebrating 100 years of service to the community. Gingrich Memorials has their own art staff and in-house laser, and they wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season. That's Gingrich Memorials, 568 North Union Street in Middletown.
The Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
The Middletown Moose Family Lodge 410 is Middletown's family fun center. They have dinners Tuesday through Saturday nights and host activities year-round. Membership is available. The Middletown Moose, located at 100 Mill Street in Middletown. Good luck, Raiders! Welcome back. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy, Middletown at Susquehanna Township tonight. And we're happy to bring you this game. 3-2 Middletown against a 4-1 Susquehanna Township. No rain right now. It doesn't even seem like there's any mist out there either, so not too bad, but I'm sure the field conditions are still a little wet. It makes for a great football game, always a great one here over all of our years of covering high school football at Roscoe Warner Field.
Yeah, this is the 47th meeting in the series, so they go back a long way. Middletown leading in the series 29-15-2 is the record for Middletown in this series. Always fun coming up here to Roscoe Warner Field.
I remember a couple matchups over there. I remember when Fort Chapman was here. One year he had Marcus Colston as a star receiver, and first half of a game against Middletown, they ran all over the Blue Raiders. Now, it didn't show on the scoreboard, but they ran all over Middletown. In the second half, the coaching staff knew that he just had to throw the football. They had to get it to Colston, so they threw a little quick pass out in the flat, and Middletown was sitting on it, picked it off, brought it back the other way, and ended up winning the game. So it's one of the memories I have from here. I'd love to have a game that's that close again here tonight.
I was telling Steve as we were walking in, I remember that game in the 80s that we broadcast here, and the power went out. There was a little electrical fire down underneath here in the stadium, and lights were out, and that was it. Game over.
Who won that game?
I don't recall. Yeah,
I kind of figured you didn't remember that, because I think you remember that point is the fire.
Yeah, we remember the fire. John Cooper was, of course, with us back in those days, and he was engineering things, and yeah, we had to come back. I think it was the next day we played.
I can probably find out for you.
This is a series that has been on and off depending on the divisional alliances that these two teams have had. Susquehanna Township has been in the Keystone at times. Middletown's been in the Capital, and now both these teams find themselves in the Colonial Division and right in the thick of the Colonial Division race. Yeah. And, I mean, it was expected the Susquehanna Township would probably, with their plethora of offensive firepower, would be part of that conversation. A shocking team, I think, to everybody right now is this Middletown team. And what you're seeing is a team that is 3-2 right now, and you could go glass half full, glass half empty. Let's go glass half full for a second. They're 3-2, and they are 4 points away from being 5-0 at this point, and two very winnable football games that they had where they're in every game. I mean, every single game. And this is a very young team that looks the opposition in the eye, and they do not get intimidated, and they do not get flustered. And that goes right back to just their identity and the guys who are leading this team offensively, their freshman quarterback, Harrison Ortiz, and their sophomore tailback, Gavin Palm. And between the two of those guys, you have very uncanny calmness and poise at young ages that a lot of times you don't necessarily see. And that's been something that on the offensive side of the ball, Middletown has really been able to lean on.
All right, we'll step out. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the Giant Company pregame show. Middletown and Susquehanna Township. More when we return here on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to noon, or by appointment. Jack's Auto Sales is located at 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230. Their number is 944-7363 or online at jacksautosales.net.
Middletown Lumber, in business since 1955, is now stocking redwood. Still your local source for hardwoods to framing lumber, western red cedar to custom decks. They're located at 2 Clinton Avenue in Middletown. It's Middletown Lumber at 717-944-4005 or online at middletownlumber.com.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, his number is 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
J&J Pizzeria and Grill is open for carryout daily from 10:30 a.m. until 10 p.m., Sundays 11 to 9. Pizza, subs, bowlies, salads, and fries. Their number is 717-944-1313. That's J&J Pizzeria and Grill, 288 East Main Street in Middletown.
Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is a proud sponsor of Middletown Athletics. Trophies, plaques, T-shirts, promotional items, and much more. Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is located at the Square on Main Street in Hummelstown or online at hughesawards.espwebsite.com.
Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is open from noon to midnight 7 days a week. The kitchen is open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Membership information is available. That's VFW Post 1620, located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. And Middletown at Susquehanna Township. Township's got a guy, Brian, who can just run and speed and catch. He can do a lot.
Like Cyrus, a speed demon. D1 guy going to South Carolina. He already this season, 5 touchdown catches, so 1 per game, averages 18 yards per catch. But Jared Kearns had a big season, too. And when you've got 2 guys who you can feed, T.D. Evans, their junior quarterback, has been sensational. First in the mid-pen right now, 271 yards passing per game. You go on the defensive side, Kasim Singleton-Brown, 80 tackles. That is 16 tackles per game. He's been fantastic. Top tackler in the entire Mid-Pet Conference.
All right. We're going to step out. That's going to wrap up the Giant Company pregame show. It's Middletown and Susquehanna Township when we return. Kickoff here on the Blue Raider Sports Network. It's the 2024 Middletown Area Alumni Association Homecoming Dinner. It takes place on Friday, October the 11th at Middletown High School. Dinner begins at 6 o'clock. The program and Hall of Fame induction begin at 7:15. Registration forms are available in your alumni newsletter or at RaiderWeb.org on the alumni page. For more information, you can contact Earl at 717-944-5454.
DHL Supply Chain is present in 55 countries with more than 140,000 employees and over 1,400 warehouses and offices. Solving problems and creating solutions, it's DHL Supply Chain. Proud supporters of Blue Raider Athletics and Academics.
We're better together at the Middletown Home, a continuing care community for folks of all ages. Enjoy an independent lifestyle in a large apartment with kitchen and laundry. There's assisted living in your own personal apartment, even short-term rehab for a quick recovery, and a health center with 24-hour skilled care. The Middletown Home is the mansion on the hill across from the airport on Route 230. Take a tour and find out more at middletownhome.org or check out our Facebook page. Giant Company, nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. From our table to your table, it's Giant Company. proud LVC Radio sponsors.
Your number one choice for local sports coverage. This is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, Audrey Horner, our producer for the pregame show. Sam Kostoff stepping in now for the rest of the broadcast as our studio producer. Nice night here after a rainy week in central Pennsylvania. Good temperature for high school football. Middletown in the all-white with the gold helmets. Susquehanna Township in the all-red with the white helmets. And Middletown's going to receive to start this game.
And the game plan's pretty clear. You've got one team that likes high tempo, likes to move quickly in Susquehanna Township. You've got a Middletown team on the other side. Their goal is to play keep away. Long, time-consuming drives. Try to attack what they hope is a weakness in the run game and try to establish their ground game with Gavin Paul and Lewis Roman.
Max Swanson to do the kicking? No. Change it.
Nope. That would be Aaron Ramsey.
With Ramsey kicking off. Ross is back to receive along with Lewis Roman. And Susquehanna Township will be going from our left to right at 91.1 FM. It's going to be just a short onside kick, near side, high popper. It's loose on the turf. Middletown looked like they trapped it on the turf finally, but a little caught off guard with just a short little fly ball.
They were expecting it because they had guys in positions that they normally don't. It's just that they didn't come up and catch it clean. Let's take a look at the Middletown offense. Harrison Ortiz, the freshman quarterback, 59% pass from the season, has 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the year. His receivers, Genesiah Ross, the sophomore, and Akea Zenon, the junior, are the starters there, with Jaisir Smith, the junior tight end. Lewis Roman, Gavin Paul, the guys you'll see in the backfield.
And Paul is lined up to the left of Ortiz from their own 37 on first down. Paul going up the middle, bounces off a couple guys, and then gets spun back after picking up maybe a yard. He's been flip-flopping on his uniforms all season, 22 and 44. Tonight, he is number 44.
And now you've got Middletown's offensive line that's got to have a big responsibility. Joe Gassert at left tackle, Josh Torre left guard, Caden Walco at center, George Hartwick at right guard, Tyrell Yealy at right tackle. They'll be the guys responsible for opening the holes for the backs.
That's a second down and 9. From the 38, and they're going to shift. They've got a slot right side, little reverse. Coming around the near side as Ross finds a hold of the 40, tackled from behind up to the 43-yard line.
The guy that I did not mention, Adiel Johnson, is another guy who's going to be important on this team. He goes out there a lot of times as a blocker, and what he'll do many times is he'll lead the way. But that is a tendency that Susquehanna Township is aware of. So Middletown will possibly be using him as a little bit more of a decoy here today.
Well, I had a 44 out there as well. I better double check the 22 and the 44 for Middletown. Here's a 3rd and 3. Motion to the far side. Quick pass, Ortiz, caught by Ross, but great coverage by the Indians right there to shut him down. No gain, maybe up to the 45. Brings up a 4th down and 2, and the punting unit comes in.
Yeah, ball just floated out there too long. The quickness of the secondary for Susquehanna Township, too much. You've got to have some way to get a wall up there and be able to do something. Look, if they've got a fake punt, this is not a horrible place to do this on 4th down and 2.
Taylor to punt, standing back at his own 34, plenty of time, good snap, a low wobbly one far side, he shanked it wide right, but a flag is also thrown there at the line.
Well, if it would be against Susquehanna Township, this would be a Middletown first down, if it's post-possession.
I get the feeling Susquehanna Township,
probably against Middletown, and when it is, it's going to be
Taylor just kind of put it off the right side of his foot and out of bounds around the 38 or 40 yard line.
see what they have to say. It's going to be an illegal formation against Middletown.
All right.
So that's declined.
They're saying it went out at the 43.
Yeah,
and not much of a gain on that
ball. Not much at all. As Jaden Taylor, as he dropped that ball, it almost looked like it slipped off the toe of his foot.
So the quarterback is Evans. He's got Seville back there to his right and a trips to the right side. Quick pass on the far left side. Ad Cyrus caught near midfield and then driven back. But give him about seven on the reception.
Let's take a look at this offense with junior quarterback T.D. Evans. 6'1", 175 pounders thrown for over 1,300 yards this season. 16 touchdowns, just one interception. Rekai Seville will be the main running back today. The junior averages about 3.8 yards per carry, but it's Lex Cyrus, Jarrett Kern, 43 catches coming into this game between the two of them. Jaden Riley, the H-back, James Colston is the senior tight end.
Second and three, quarterback keeper, and Evans running it to the right side, gets hit near the 49, 48, goes back the other way. He would have had the first down instead. Tried to get more and goes back to the 50 and gets nothing out of it.
No recognition there at all of where he was in the field. I think he spun himself around a couple of times and got lost. And then instead of doing what his coaches, I think they were trying to tell him get down, meaning go forward and get down. And his instinct was when he spun, he actually went down behind where he was and ends up getting no gain out of a play that should have been a first down.
Third down and three, right of midfield. Township going left to right. No score early here in the first. Double slot. Cyrus in motion to the near side. Handoff left side. Seville trying to get out. Middletown, great containment. It's a loss of a yard to the 49-yard line.
Township tries to run the football, but you can tell by yards per carry, Seville has difficulty getting around the edge. And great pursuit angles that time for Middletown. Quickly, they supplement a Township offensive line of Brendan Jones, a 315-pound left tackle, Brandon Scott, junior at left guard, Mason Lubold, center senior, Gage LeVere, a freshman right guard, and Yendor Mack, a two-way player, is the junior right tackle.
Ramsey back. Ball comes bouncing to him at the 35. Gets it away far side. He shanked it off the left side of his foot, but it stays in play and gets a great roll all the way down inside the 20, inside the 15, and stops right near the 14-yard line.
It turns out to be a great punt.
Yeah.
That's the thing about punts. You can kick the ball, and it can look horrible, but depending on what sort of roll you get, it can look like on the stat sheet a fantastic punt. That one just did what it needed to do, and it pins Middletown inside their own 15-yard line.
Yeah, they're going to mark it right on the 13-yard line. Raiders got the slot on the near side. And now they look to shift two guys, but somebody jumped from Susquehanna Township.
And that would be Yendor Mack, the defensive end, who is a very aggressive player on that outside. He saw two guys get up. He assumed it was the start of the snap. So now it's just a matter of whether or not the referees agree that Middletown did not simulate the start of a play, because it should be a legal shift, and it is something that they do frequently.
So we'll be against Middletown.
See, and those are things also, John, where a team will talk to an officiating crew before a game, and the crew will say, hey, what sort of things do you do? What things do we have to look for? And that specifically is one of those things that the coaches usually do, talk to the officiating crew about and say, hey, we do some shifting at the line of scrimmage. Just be aware of that. And that time, it looked like the usual shift that we always see.
Yep.
But as far as what they said, it simulated a snap, so it's false start Middletown.
Roman's in the backfield with Ortiz. Now it's a first and 15 from their own 8. Roman sweeping left, tries to cut it up off left end, and maybe gets 1 yard up to the 9-yard line.
Excellent penetration there from Susquehanna Township, and also containment on the outside. It's Yendor Mack at the defensive tackle position, Amari Johnson at defensive end. You've got Jaden Riley at the defensive end, and Mason Lubold listed as the starting front four. Josh Negate, Zamir Martin, a couple of good linebackers, and Kasim Singleton Brown, a fantastic one. It is Negate, who is a little slow to get up, and we also have a second guy back there. who is also slow to get up, and that's Lou Bolt. So two guys down right now for the Indians on defense. Alfonso Burnett, Darian Brown, the corners, Seth Malott, and Jasani Brown are your safeties for Susquehanna Township.
It looks like one's just got a cramp and the other one slowly walking off. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy. Coming up at halftime, we'll run down the stats and the out-of-town scoreboard. We've got football tomorrow, Lebanon Valley College at FDU Florham down in Madison, New Jersey. That game is a noontime kickoff.
Looks like Lou Bolt's going to be okay. He's walking off the field. In fact, tried to start walking towards his own huddle, but he's got to come out for a play.
Tough kid, wants to stay out there, but no, got to sit one out.
Replaced by George Iden.
Second and 14, Middletown. At its own nine.
Takes a little size out of that line, too. Wouldn't be surprised if they run right at that place where Lou Bold was.
Trips on the near side, and Ross got a little too excited, was ready to take off. He goes offside for Middletown, and they're going to mark it back again. So now they mark it all the way back. Well, between the three and the four there, and now it's a second down and about 20.
Penalties in your own territory on the road. Those are a recipe for a disaster. Let's see if the Middletown offense can get themselves out of it.
Remember those teams of 2016, 17, 18? They get all those penalties. Didn't matter to them.
They just ran over everybody.
Yep, just ran everyone down. Here's Roman up the middle, finds a hole. Pushing and grinding up across the 10, up to about the 12, almost back to the original line of scrimmage. It'll bring up a third and 11.
Here's the problem with the penalties. Now you've got two penalties on this drive, and the offense has gained about 8 yards so far on this drive. They should be up maybe a yard or two away from a first down, and instead it's a third down and long passing situation technically in your own end unless you want to be safe here. The quarterback that has thrown a few more interceptions over the last couple weeks.
Slot on the near side. Ross goes in motion. Hand off again, Roman finds a hole to the left side. Gets up to the 20. Near sideline, 25 out of bounds, flags thrown. Watch it be a hold and coming back.
Oh, it's coming back. And the K.S. Zenon had a great block initially, and his man moved, and he held on. And it was a first down run for Roman without that block.
Yeah.
And this is just where these guys, they're looking for the big, big play as opposed to a big enough play. And when you're on the road, those are the sort of plays you need to start worrying about, the big enough play. Those plays where you've got, you're able to keep a drive going, that would have been a great one to have. And because of the penalty, now it moves it back. It was fantastically blocked by that left side of the offensive line.
Sure was. That's a third. At about 14.
Oh, what now?
Now this ball isn't
wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah, they spotted it at the 10.
It was at the 15. That's where they marked the penalty from. It should have been half the distance of the goal line. Should be back to the 7.5, which is where they have it.
All right.
And quite honestly, that's not where the penalty happened either. That's the penalty happened. Zenon held somewhere around the 21, 22-yard line, but the referee threw the flag behind that.
Third and 16, handoff right side, and Roman spins his way up to the 15. And now fourth down, and the punting unit comes in after a lot of work and a lot of penalties.
Now, the only good thing you can say is the offense did not turn the football over
right
deep in their own end like that. But now they need Jaden Taylor to come up with a big punt here.
Yeah, he sure does. He's punting from around the 3, where he stands at the 3 right now. Good snap, no pressure, end over end towards the far sideline again, shanked it out to the right side, and this one's out close to the 37, 38-yard line. So twice he's popped him off his foot. I understand if he's trying to punt it away from the returner, but unfortunately, he's not getting that right angle with the foot.
No,
he's popping them wide right.
And it's too much of an adjustment right now. And it's being basically afraid of the return game of Susquehanna Township, which I understand, but at some point you got to get some sort of distance out of the punts.
Yeah. All right, Evans, a quarterback. He's got Seville to his left and the trips to the right side in the pocket. Throws across the middle, knocked down. Incomplete.
Fantastic play by Georgie Hartwick, who gets so many props for his ability to tackle. That time in zone coverage, the leading tackler on this Middletown team. Middle linebacker goes back and the junior dives into the passing lane. Or it looked like it was going to be an open player. I believe that may have been the tight end Colston coming down the seam that time. For Middletown, Joe Gassard, Avery Waits, Josh Toro, Jaisir Smith up front. Elijah Einzig joins Hartwick in the linebacking core. Kalanick, Ross, Paul, Roman, and Queen in the secondary.
Double slot. Cyrus is on that left side with Colston. Throw in the flats. Near side is complete to Leaks. He'll pick up about five or six to the 32-yard line.
And I think that Joe Heaton, the head coach of Susquehanna Township, looked at the last situation when they tried to run against Middletown and said, you know what? That didn't work very well. Let me throw an extra wide receiver out there. So in comes junior Zakir Leaks, 6'2", 180 pounds. Another nightmare because of how tall he is and what a mismatch it can be with your secondary.
They're using Queen to defend Cyrus. It is a third down and four. Here's Evans scrambling left, has room to run if he wants. Now throws and underthrows the intended receiver, just sitting there wide open around the 25-yard line looking for Colston.
The entire time, he is looking across the middle of the field, and that was Cyrus who actually came across the middle that time. And Queen let him go because he was dropping, and they had coverage across the middle ready for Cyrus. And as Evans continued to roll to the left, he never left his eyes from Lex Cyrus. He was looking there the entire time. And then finally, when he threw the football, just never set his feet to be able to put anything on it.
So they're going to go for it on fourth down and four at the 32. A trips left, twins right, and spread them out. Evans in the pocket, feeling pressure. Should have been a hold. They will get the call as Evans runs it left side inside the 30, tackled near the 20, but this is coming back because he was going to get sacked on his right side, and it'll be a hold against the Indians.
Yeah, Middletown had a great pass rush from both ends that time, and that flushed Evans immediately. And because he rolled the direction of one of those ends who had a beat on him, the offensive tackle reached out, grabbed a hold. Easy call for the official because whenever you get exposed like that out on the outside, it's easy to see that.
Now that'll mark them back, and they'll bring in the punting unit with 4:28 to play in the first. No score. Middletown and Susquehanna Township.
This, considering how the field position has been so far, John, this is advantage Middletown as far as what they're concerned. The fact that Susquehanna Township has not been able to put anything on the board yet.
Ramsey from his own 45. High punt towards the middle of the field, and Middletown just gets away from it. Takes a brief Susquehanna Township bounce and lands on the 25, and that's where the Raiders will get the football.
It's about a 17-yard punt that time.
Punters are having a problem here in the first, and we have no rain.
No rain, but you also have dangerous return men for each team that each punter, you know, a lot of times people are, why don't they just blast the ball every time? Well, sometimes you got a directional kick and keep it away from guys who can hurt you.
Middletown on first down. It's a run right up the middle. Were they running Wildcat
with
Roman?
Wildcat with Roman.
Yeah. He had Paul to his left side, but Roman keeps it. Only able to grind out about 2 yards up to the 27.
Ortiz comes back on the field, and he also brings along with him what essentially is two tight ends with Jaisir Smith and Adiel Johnson joining the offense on this second down play.
So on the left side, they'll line up Ross on second and eight. Put Ross in motion. Little push pass. He tries getting around the far side. Not going to happen. Township, great penetration. Shuts him down and tackles him back around the 20.
You talk about a football player that anybody would want on their team. Kasim Singleton Brown, the senior. What a season he's had. 80 tackles on the year coming in, which is first in the Mid-Penn Conference. All divisions. Seven tackles for loss, and you see why. Beats his block, gets in the backfield, and absolutely blows up what was essentially just like a jet sweep for the jet sweep pass to Ross.
Third down and 14. Middletown back at its own 21. They'll give it to Ross, but he's going to throw it from the middle of the field. He's got a man complete to Zenon at the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, 5, touchdown! Ross with the pass to Zenon, and the Raiders have taken a 6-0 lead.
And a fantastic call, because you give the ball to Ross, your playmaker, and the one thing that Middletown knows coming in that other teams might not, Ross coming into this year, before Ortiz really stepped up as a freshman, Ross was potentially going to be the starting quarterback of this team. So he gets the ball around the outside, defense bites, and Zenon runs right back past his coverage man, and a beautiful ball thrown.
79 yards.
Opens the scoring.
Here's Kaiser for the extra point kick. It's on the way, and it's good. We'll step out, 2:52 to play in the first, Middletown 7, Susquehanna Township nothing. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
DHL Supply Chain is present in 55 countries with more than 140,000 employees and over 1,400 warehouses and offices. Solving problems and creating solutions, it's DHL Supply Chain. Proud supporters of Blue Raider athletics and academics.
Seven nothing. Middletown takes the lead on the, I don't want to call it a halfback pass.
No, it's
a receiver pass.
So it's a flanker option pass.
Flanker option pass.
And it's something you don't see a lot.
Yeah.
But it's understanding personnel, and that's Middletown taking advantage of the fact that it's a matchup that they have not played in over the last so many years. So Susquehanna Township may not be as aware of the personnel. And Ross goes out there and throws a perfect strike.
Kickoff. Kaiser is going to chip it right up the middle in between the up backs and the deep backs. And returning it back the other way is Galt to the near side, but he has nowhere to go. He's tackled at the 24.
That's Lex Cyrus on the return. And they were going to be very, very careful with Cyrus, so that's why they wanted it to bounce to him.
No, that was Galt.
No, that was Cyrus. He's number 8. Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's
my bad. I thought I saw the 32 grab it.
Nope. You just circle 8 everywhere he is. You know where he is on the field. Believe
that's
me.
True.
Middletown does also, and they want to make sure that they tackle him and tackle him firmly tonight, because if there's one thing speed guys don't like, they don't like guys around their legs.
Township takes over. They'll put Cyrus wide on the right side. They're going to hand it off. Seville trying to take it off right tackle. Pick up just a couple yards up to the 27.
And Elijah Einzig has continued to get better and better each week as the other linebacker with George Hartwick. You got Hartwick averaging 10 tackles a game. Einzig, he averages 8.5 tackles a game, second on this team. And the two of these squads just are really blessed with a lot of good talent tacklers in that linebacking core.
That's a missed. Now starting to blow through here at Roscoe Warner Field. And some movement by the Indians.
Interior line.
Head coach here, Joe Heaton. I want to say 14 seasons of Bishop McDevitt product.
His son went to McDevitt while Joe was coaching here at Susquehanna Township.
Good guy. He's been here.
Oh, no, great guy.
Stable program. And, you know, after what they've gone through in recent years with the basketball program, you can count on a stable football program with
so,
Joe.
That is so important, too, yeah, that they have somebody stable in one of those key coaching situations. And Joe Heaton's been that guy.
It's now a second down and 7. They'll go against Seville off left tackle, and this time only gets a couple yards up close to the 30-yard line.
They waved off the flag, so Township comes right out, and they're trying to run the football, but that's where they are struggling right now. They're trying to find the running game. Xavier Rivera is the guy who leads his team in yards, but he's not on the list because I believe he's injured coming into this game. The junior running back had almost 300 yards rushing, almost 8 yards per carry coming in. But Seville right now is the guy who's going to be the bell cow for this team.
Third and five, they're going to spread it out. Three on the left, two on the right. Evans in the pocket, now looks to run to the left side. He'll have the first up to the 35, and he'll slide across the 40 to the 41 for a first down.
He's going to be your best runner, I think, today for Susquehanna Township, because Middletown is going to be putting so much attention on the receivers that it's going to be important for the defensive line specifically. You're not going to get much linebacker support in terms of blitzing. It's going to be the front four, and you must contain Evans. They did not do it that time.
First down from their own 41. Evans again spreads them out, throws the slant, and Cyrus drops it. Slightly behind him, but still right there near the numbers, and he could not hold on. Brings up a second and 10 with 58 seconds to go in the first and a 7-0 Middletown lead.
That's a ball you're expected to catch, but James Queen, a little handsy right at the top of that route, and it may have thrown off the timing there of Cyrus. I know when you have most teams defending against Lex Cyrus, most teams are just going to back away, back away, back away, and let him have the stuff in front. Queen is a tough enough defender and a fast enough defender that they like him pressing from time to time.
Double slot, Evans tries to swing it out near side, almost a lateral as it went through the hands of Leaks and out of bounds.
Not 100% sure it wasn't one, but they called it immediately incomplete.
He turned back for the ball, actually, and now brings up a third down and 10 for the Indians at their own 41.
See, and this is why I was surprised coming in. I'm looking at numbers, and Evans on the season, 67% completion percentage. He's not that accurate a thrower. And when you see him on film, you can see that a lot of times it's put that ball up and let somebody run under.
Third down, Evans. Screen pass across the middle. He's got a man caught at the 45-50. This is for a first down. Down the near side, a foot race between Gavin Paul, and he's pushed out of bounds down around the 2 or 3 yard line, Rivera.
That's Xavier Rivera. So he is available in this game. That was questionable coming in, and he shows that explosiveness there. Just his second catch of the season. But for Middletown, the screen pass worked for them so well last week, and now they get burned by it here on this third down play. A 55-yard completion where it's catch and run. The entire defensive line went. You had one guy against like four blockers, and that's not a good play for the Middletown defense.
They'll mark him out at the four. It's a first and goal at the four. Rivera's in the backfield. He's going to get the carry again. Weaves his way up the middle, and he has a touchdown. Xavier Rivera makes it a 7-6 game, point after pending.
Third touchdown of the year for Xavier Rivera. Now he's a guy who just 5'6", listed at 137 pounds, but you know, he gets out there, and one of the things that when you don't have the size, sometimes it's shiftiness. And he just ducked around a couple guys around the line of scrimmage, darted forward, and before Hartwick could stop him from getting there, gets into the end zone, and a mistake by Middletown.
They jump off here.
They jumped off sides, and this is where a lot of times teams will go for two. I don't know if Township trusts their running game enough to do it, though.
So it's 7-6. They'll move the ball up just a little closer. Don't think it means much for Ramsey. And they'll line it up again. Snap, hold, kick is on the way, and it is good. We'll step out. 35 seconds to go in the first. Middletown 7, Susquehanna Township 7. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
We're better together at the Middletown Home, a continuing care community for folks of all ages. Enjoy an independent lifestyle in a large apartment with kitchen and laundry. There's assisted living in your own personal apartment, even short-term rehab for a quick recovery, and a health center with 24-hour skilled care. The Middletown Home is the mansion on the hill across from the airport on Route 230. Take a tour and find out more at middletownhome.org or check out our Facebook page.
Seven-seven, our score, Middletown and Susquehanna Township. Thanks to everyone who went out last weekend and supported Pumpkin Fest at the Middletown home. Two great evenings there, although they pushed the fireworks off to Sunday. But good time, a lot of vendors, a lot of folks. Although I did not get a picture of Steve at the puppy kissing booth, unfortunately.
Nope, didn't see that, but we did see a 7-place, 76-yard drive from Susquehanna Township that took 3 minutes and 43 seconds off the clock.
Here's Gavin Paul on the return. He'll run it up to the 35, and that's where he's tackled. And the Raider offense comes back out onto the field.
Yeah, last time the Raiders had the ball, it was basically a one-play deal because the Blue Raiders have really done virtually nothing offensively so far except for commit some penalties. And then they have the trick play where they have Ross throw the touchdown pass down the field to Zenon. And that's pretty much most of their offense in the entire first quarter so far.
So they'll go with Lewis Roman in the backfield to the right of Ortiz. You've got the twins on that left side, and Ross and Zenon. Man in motion over to the right wing, and the ball goes through the hands of Ortiz, and he has to run back for it. Again, that blowing mist is starting to move in here. May have just slipped right through the fingers.
You got to concentrate on the ball coming back, and he was looking at the line of scrimmage. He was trying to read something before he caught the football, and that's just those sort of little mistakes that we talked about that you cannot afford because it continues to dig that bigger hole on the offensive side.
Well, it was a loss of 8, and we have played one quarter. It's Middletown 7, Susquehanna Township 7. We'll come back with the second quarter after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network. Giant Company, nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. And from our table to your table, there's Giant Direct, allowing you to pick up your groceries without leaving your car. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. Giant Company, proud Blue Raider sponsors. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, Sam Kostoff, our studio producer. 7-7 Middletown and Susquehanna Township as we switch sides here.
And the first half, and the first quarter for Middletown, look what they've done offensively so far. They've got 18 yards of penalties, and if you take away the 79-yard touchdown pass, I'm seeing on the stat sheet limited yards, and it's another fumble for Middletown.
And it's loose all the way down around the 5-yard line. In fact, Ortiz turned around, ran back again for it. This time couldn't pull it in, and it bounced all the way down to about the 5-yard line. What is going on there? And they're coming back a little high, but still, he's got to keep his eye on that ball.
Oh, he's got to concentrate on the football.
Yeah. Man. Twice.
They're going to take it out of his hands right now. They're going to the Wildcat.
Yeah. They're down. They're just going to let Roman try to run it around the left side. He's only going to get a yard or two. But oh, my goodness. I didn't even have time to calculate. Sounds like a fourth down. Let's see. 20, 30, 34, I'm guessing. Am I around there? 38. Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Fourth down to 38?
My.
I don't think they're running a punt. Right now, I'm hoping that they get the punt somewhere near the yard markers.
Yeah, and a high snap this time. Taylor pulls it down. He boots it high end over end right out to the middle of the field. And Millett is tackled near the 40.
Well, it's good coverage that time, though, from Adiel Johnson. And this time, I think they got away from telling him to directionally kick the ball. We just have to cover the punt.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets out a pretty decent one, gets it up to where the yard markers were. When you've got a fourth and 38, that's pretty much a decent punt when you get it that far and very limited return. So tough ask here for the Middletown defense, but they have been up to it many times this year so far.
I'm sure there's going to be some discussion on the sideline. Assistant coach Mike Dupes pulling some of those linemen and get the center on track here with the quarterback on those snaps. On first down, it's going to be a keeper. Evans trying to run it to the left side. Flags are thrown. He gets to the 35 and out of bounds close to the 30, but this one's coming back against the Indians.
And you got a hold in the interior line again. And when you're a team who is used to throwing the ball a lot, and you choose then to go to the running game, these offensive linemen, something that they have a lot of size, but not necessarily as much quickness on the inside. So if you have a team across from you that has a little bit more quickness, now all of a sudden they're taking angles that you're not used to having to block, you're not getting in the way, and you're feeling like you're going to have to help somebody the best you possibly can. You stick that arm out, and they don't know if it's coming up the middle on these zone reads. It could go either way. So the line has to block like it could go up the middle or outside.
Well, it's a first and 20 at the 49 of Middletown. Evans throwing deep down that right side, up for grabs, and kind of threw it to the outside for Leaks. Could not haul it in. Leaks was looking inside the ball to the outside along the sideline and just wasn't in the right spot for that.
And this is a very opportunistic Middletown secondary. You've got Ross, who was on the coverage that time with two interceptions. You've got Queen on the other side, who's had most of the coverage so far against Lex Cyrus. He's got an interception this year. And you got Lewis Roman sitting back there at free safety with three interceptions. So this secondary has gotten things done this season.
Queen, a 6'2 sophomore. Got his hands full on this one. Second down and 20 at the 49. Evans, quick pass, looking for the slant right through the hands of Kern this time. So it is obviously getting a little slippery out there on that ball with this mist that's blowing through.
He's got 20 catches on the season coming into this one, so it's not like it's just the Lex Cyrus show. He's had a fantastic year. He's got 6 touchdowns to lead this entire team through the air. And that's a very uncharacteristic drop from him, just a short little pass. All they're trying to do there is get somewhere between 5 to 10 yards, making it much more manageable. Now in this third down play, you got to figure they're probably going to hoist one up and see what happens.
Got Colston on the near side with that double slot man in motion. Third and 20. Quick pass far side again to Kern. Tries following and then does to the right side inside the 35. Goes out of bounds along the sideline close to the first down marker. I think he's going to be just shy.
He's going to be short,
yards.
But not by much. So you've got Gavin Paul who has to get over there and eventually scramble him out of bounds.
He got some good blocking on that right side.
Yeah, we got another penalty flag, John.
I guess it doesn't matter. It is
bring
coming
it
back. Yeah. Against the Indians. So Middletown, who was shooting themselves in the foot there for a while.
Yes.
Now it's the Indians doing the same.
Holding it is.
This time they'll move it all the way back to the Indian zone 42-yard line.
Well, for most teams, this is a draw because you're not worried about picking up third in an eternity. For this team, you got a few different options in the playbook that you can run.
Third down and 29.
If you don't have two guys over here next to number 8, you're probably not thinking very clearly right
now.
That's
it. Instead, they're going to hand it off, sweeping to the left side. Rivera now looks to go back the other direction. Instead, he's going backwards, and the Raiders have him. Be a loss of a few. Brings up a fourth down. Punting unit has to come in for the Indians. Great coverage.
And we go from having Middletown have a fourth down in 38, and now Township might be even further away.
Yeah. I'm just surprised at the selection there and the play calling on that series.
It's a very, very conservative approach right now from Susquehanna Township. Almost like they don't want to make the big mistake at home because they know that Middletown has some playmakers in that secondary that can hurt them.
Punt situation from the 23, Ramsey. Low wobbly one. Raiders come right up on it. Zenon grabs it up across midfield, still standing at the 45 of Susquehanna Township. Zenon, man, came up on that baby real fast because it was going down quick.
I'm going to tell you, and this is something I've believed all season so far, and we saw it on the touchdown earlier. Nikea Zenon may be the best player that nobody talks about for this Middletown team. Because you talk about the speed he has, the playmaking ability, and you look at Jenisiah Ross, who a lot of times gets a lot of the focus in the receiver position. You've got Gavin Paul, Lewis Roman. Zenon's had a fantastic year so far, and he shows on that return just how good his hands are in traffic.
He's just a junior. First down, Ross goes in motion far side, but they're going to hand it off. Gavin Paul left side following the blocks, but only able to get a couple to the 43-yard line of Susquehanna Township.
But how big that entire drive was and the mistakes being made by each team, where Middletown, a couple of bad snaps and the fumbles that they had hurt them initially, but Township, with a couple penalties on that drive, have completely changed the field position situation and its advantage Blue Raiders.
Second down and 8. Middletown at the 43 of the Indians. Slot on the right side. Gavin Paul in the backfield with Ortiz. They'll move Johnson over to the right wing position. Ortiz rolling right, throws. It's complete. Near the 35, and Ross pushed out of bounds. Should have the first down at the 35.
Yeah, great catch and a very good throw that time from Ortiz, because it was a little muddy over there on that side of the field. A few different red jerseys in between him and his intended receiver. Had to put the ball a little bit higher, and Ross got up well, able to go over top of everybody else defensively and pull that ball down and then turn it upfield to make sure he picked up the first.
Gavin Paul stays in. They'll put the twins on the far side, Zenon and Rice. Ross, rather, and they'll hand it off to Paul. Off left tackle, penetrates inside the 35. They give him forward progress to about the 34. Yeah, just a yard.
Yeah, not gotten a lot of penetration between the tackles so far. But as we know and what we've seen from this Middletown running game, that's something that usually comes as the game wears on, trying to wear the guys down across from you, trying to continue to establish that inside run that Middletown has done so well.
You got Queen lined up in the slot. Little fake handoff. Throw down across the middle, too far for Queen, and Zenon wasn't headed for a post pattern. That ball just went nowhere.
No, he sailed it. That was supposed to be for Queen. Queen was open, going across the field, little skinny post that time as he's coming across, and just Ortiz had that ball just sail on him. And fortunately for Middletown, because of where the defenders were, a lot of times you throw a pass like that that sails, there's a free safety at the back end of that one just waiting for that one.
Uh-huh. Third and 9 at the 34. So it goes Zenon, split on the near side, and it trips on the far side. They've got Johnson, Ross, and Queen over there. Roman to the right of Ortiz, takes a snap, looking, now throws the screen across the middle, and it's intercepted right at the 33-yard line. I don't know who he was looking for.
He was looking for the guy there. Roman was over there, but they telegraphed it. It was very, very obvious, yep. And then the ball once again on Harrison Ortiz sailed, and that's the concerning thing right now is we're seeing the passes high.
Yeah.
And those are dangerous passes. Makes you think that you're going to have to rely a lot more on your running game, which hasn't gotten on track yet. Zymir Martin, his first interception of the season, does have a recovered fumble, so he is able to get turnovers.
I think Ortiz just kind of figured where he wanted to throw it and did not see where actually Roman was. Here's first down. Cyrus is going to sweep it to the right side, trying to get outside. Gets hit by Johnson. Needs some help. A couple other guys help him out on that far side as he gets up to about the 36-yard line. Gain of about 6.
5'11", 165 pounds. But you don't get to be as fast as he is without also having some moves also. Because here comes an entire defense set on trying to stop you. They come to the outside. He's making moves to avoid heavy contact. You know, you want to be able to make guys miss, and he almost did, but Adiel Johnson, one of the shorter tackles on this Middletown team, ends up making the play.
Only a pickup of 5 from their own 37, 2nd and 5. Evans in the pocket. Has plenty of time now, rolling to the near side, taking his time, still looking, now tosses it deep down the near side, up for grabs, but too high. He was looking for Darian Brown, who was just kind of down there waving his hand around the 20. He had Cyrus on the near side for the default dump off, and
he
didn't want to
get
to him.
Initially, he had Cyrus, although Middletown then, King Kalanick came over and was aware of him. It was the right read that time, to be honest with you. Because you had Georgie Hartwick back there in coverage all the way down the field covering a wide receiver. So you got a linebacker covering a wide receiver. He just overthrew him.
Third and 5. Township at its own 37, 6:43 to play in the second. We're tied at 7. This time, Evans is going to keep it. Runs up to the left side. Now tries cutting off a man. Has the first up to the 45. They'll move the chains.
And Middletown making a mistake defensively that time. When he started coming over to this left-hand side, if you are the outside man, you have got to keep contained. You have help inside. You have to force him back in.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, they got faked out by the juke, went to the inside, and that gave Evans the edge to pick up the first down.
So they'll move it up to the 45. Seville back out there, running back to the right of Evans. Now we're going to get a timeout, Middletown's defense. So we'll step out. 6:14 to play in the second. Tied at 7, Middletown and Susquehanna Township. Back on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
The Hetrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hetrick Center, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
And just checking out some of the out-of-town scores, and Steel High with a 14-7 lead on Line Mountain, who is Middletown's opponent next week. Line Mountain, I think, 4-1 right now on the season, so Steel High handling them right now at home with a one-score lead. And Shippensburg was leading Lower Dolphin, I believe it was 14-7. Shippensburg unbeaten thus far on the season.
They're having a great year. There's a bunch of teams right now who are still midway point, having their success and undefeated.
First and 10, Township. Evans back to pass. He's throwing deep down the near side. He's got the speedster wide open as Cyrus, but he cannot hold on to it. Wide open, Ross, probably 3-4 yards behind him, and Cyrus could not hold in.
They got the matchup they wanted 100%. And that matchup was Lex Cyrus against Genesiah Ross, who, as opposed to Queen, Ross sometimes gets caught with his eyes in the backfield trying to look for the big play. That time, Cyrus just went on a dead sprint, ran right by him, had a wide open touchdown, and that ball was perfectly thrown from Evans.
Yeah.
Cyrus just dropped the ball.
Should have been 6. Second down and 10 from their own 45. Slot on the right side. This time they'll hand it off. Seville finds a hole off the right side of the line, gets across midfield, tackled at the 47, 2 yards shy of the first.
What that last play does, though, is it shakes your defense a little bit. So now all of a sudden, all right, now we've got to help back because they just ran a deep route on us. We've got to be aware. And then at the line of scrimmage, the offensive line does a great job of down blocking, finding a hole, and Seville, maybe his best carry of the game.
Third down and 2, Township at the Middletown, 47. Slot on the right, split on the left. Seville back there with Evans, gets the carry. Has the hole, gets the first, dives to the 43-yard line for a first down for the Indians with 5:23 and counting in the second quarter.
Straight up the middle, and one of the reasons you can do that is your center, 280-pound Mason Lubold. When you've got beef in the middle of the line, a lot of times that beef is going to be accompanied by somebody else at the guard position, double-teaming the guys to the inside. That's how you create that wedge, being able to just gash right up the middle of the field, and that's what Township was able to do for a first down.
Cyrus in the slot on the right side, now goes in motion, gets the push pass. He'll sweep a near side, cuts up at the 40, spins at the 35, and should have the first down. He's close to the 33, and looks like they'll move the chains for him.
What they're doing, though, here is they're getting some rhythm for their offense. The series is before. They were not getting rhythm with the offense because of penalties, mistakes, different things that they did. Here, now they've strung together a few plays, a few runs, a few passes, and it's been a very successful drive so far.
Leaks and Cyrus in the slot to the right side. Kern on the left. Hand off Seville up the middle again. Has a brief hole there on the right side and picks up maybe a yard to the 32.
Close that door. Georgie Hartwick stepped right in there, take him down, and then help him back up. So you go on back to your huddle. I'll be here all night. Georgie Hartwick, and what a sensational season. And in the 4-2-5 defense that Middletown uses, having linebackers who can make open field tackles vitally important, and Hartwick has been a key part of that.
Second down and 9 at the 32. At the double slot. Evans throwing down the left side, has a man. That's complete, and the first down to Colston.
It's a great catch.
Yeah.
Ross had coverage on the inside and was all over him, but that's where it's nice to be 6'1", be able to break on the football. And Colston went up well. Middletown sent the blitz that time. They sent Einzig from the outside, but they didn't get home, and that meant one-on-one coverage down the field.
22 down to the 10-yard line, first and goal to go for the Indians. Double slot, and they'll put Seville to the right of Evans. Kern goes in motion to the right side. Kern's going to keep it. He loses the football. Middletown recovers it.
Adiel Johnson, strip and recovery. And what looked like a sure score for Susquehanna Township is erased by the aggressive senior defensive end, Adiel Johnson.
Kern just tackled hard as he was going down. Johnson got that ball squeezed down, and as he was laying face down on the turf, it was just in front. He just pulled it right in.
Just pulled it right in. And Township, there at the 10, choosing to run the football, they spread two receivers each side and sent man in motion, having three over to the right-hand side, but there's not much room there to block anybody. You just have your five offensive linemen, and I think it hurt them.
First down, handoff, Gavin Paul, looking to go to the short side of the field. Not much room there. He'll pick up maybe a yard or two. They're going to mark him down near the 23, and it will bring up a second down and 8 for Middletown at its own 23-yard line with just under 3 minutes to play in the half, tied at 7.
How big could this drive be, though, John? Because this is a Middletown team outside of the 179-yard pass has done virtually nothing on the offensive side, but is 7-7 right now. And if they go down and would score on this drive, it will be a huge momentum boost going to the second half.
Handoff. Gavin Paul finds a hole up across the 30, 35, 40, 45 in midfield. Gets crunched from both sides, tackled in Township territory at the Indian 38-yard line.
And that's exactly how quick it can change. So they've been running inside, hoping something would break open. We're nearing the end of this first half, and then Gavin Paul finally finds a little bit of freedom, bursts through the line of scrimmage, shows a little bit of speed, and 40 yards later, he's into Indian territory for a Middletown first down.
First and 10, Middletown. Tie game at 7 here in the first half. Paul stays into the left of Ortiz. He'll get the handoff, but has nowhere to go. Not sure if there was a little exchange problem there that kind of took that little half second of delay. But no gain.
I'm usually not a fan of the guy who runs 40 yards immediately get the ball back, and that would be one of the reasons why. Because the defense is now looking for him. Okay, he's red hot at this point. We got to stop him. They're really aware of him. And he's probably a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit gassed, especially how many snaps Gavin Paul plays both ways.
A loss of a yard to the 39. Second and 11. Hand off, Gavin Paul trying to sweep it to the left. Finds a hole at the 40 and dives to the 36-yard line. Gain of only 3.
They're in 4-down territory where they are right now.
Yeah.
They
would need at least another 10 or 15 field goal range.
I'd say 10.
Okay.
10 on turf to at least give a shot at it.
They're going to mark it at the 36. It's a 3rd down and 8. They'll keep Gavin Paul out there. Well, I thought Geneseo Ross jumped a little early on that last one, but they didn't throw the flag.
Were merciful, yeah. One or the other. It's usually not mercy.
He loves that quick jump off the line. 3rd down and 8. Paul lines up to the left of Ortiz in the pocket, gets pressure, throws. It's incomplete. Was looking for Zenon. I think he threw a little behind him.
Touch behind, but still. That's one that he wishes he would have been able to grab onto. They snapped that ball with 1 second left from the play clock, which means very little time for Township to get the football back, depending on the end of this drive. They will go for it here on fourth down.
46 seconds to play in the half. 7-7 our score. Middletown at the 36 of Susquehanna Township. They'll go for it here on fourth and 8.
You got to make sure if you're going to run a route, you got to throw to a guy who's past the first down markers.
Trips on the right side as they stick Roman out there as well. Got the slot on the left. On fourth down, high snap it, pulled down by Ortiz. Now he's going to just do a little pooch punt to the far side, and it goes out right around the 19-yard line or so. Let's see where they mark it.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand what they're doing because you don't necessarily want to make the field shorter for Susquehanna Township. But considering who they have running, he can run 60 or 80, and it don't matter. So it's a conservative,
right.
And I understand the conservative play call here because you want to make them go even further. And I think what's more also, you want to try to convince Susquehanna Township to be conservative themselves here. Look at the scoreboard and say, hey, it's 7-7. We're okay with this at home right now.
They've got the ball at their own 15-yard line.
I'm taking at least one shot down the field before I go back to running.
39 seconds to play in the half.
I think this is a good timeout for Middletown. Yeah, they saw something they didn't like. I think they were expecting Township maybe to be conservative, and it didn't look like they were going to be.
Hey, while we're talking about the hurricane that went through Florida, just flooding, massive flooding in Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee. Just a mess down in that area, and all the damage it has done. Our friends at the Rothrock Foundation are headed down. They've done this in past years to support those people who are helping with the cleanup and all that. They get down there and make sure they get in there and help feed them and do so many great things. They at some point tonight, they're going to decide or figure out where they need to be. But check out the Facebook page for Rothrock Foundation. And Rex Rothrock and his crew are getting ready to head down there at some point and help out.
Are there ways that people can help out?
And they can. They'll have a link there for you so you can give generously to help their cause. All right, first down, scrambling near side. Evans throws up field, almost intercepted by Middletown near the 38, and flags are thrown in the back against Susquehanna Township.
Yep, and I think that's what I said to you was I would take one shot down the field. We have a holding call in the backfield, and my quarterback almost threw an interception.
Yeah.
This next play is going to be a run.
Yeah,
they're going to take this thing. I would be really, really surprised if they don't just take this thing in the locker room, especially with Middletown only having one timeout left now in the half. So it's not like the Blue Raiders can get the ball back. I think both these teams are going to be satisfied enough.
We have seen stranger things over the years.
Yes, we have, and that's why I'm not automatically saying this is going to be what they do.
Well, they're going to go with a trips near side, slot on the right side. Evans, he looks to just run it now, trying to get around, and only gets to the 2.
Oh, I'm calling timeout here. I am definitely calling my last timeout. Because if I can get any sort of stop here, if they're not going to come up the line of scrimmage.
No, they're not going to come up, and the Raiders aren't going to call timeout. They're going to let it tick down on this second and long from the 2, and just everyone, I guess, content where they are, breathing a big sigh as they go in at halftime. And we have reached halftime at Roscoe Warner Field. We invite you to stay tuned. Halftime show coming up. Steve will have the out-of-town scoreboard, all your stats, and we'll talk more here at halftime about what's going on in Central Pennsylvania sports, Middletown Athletics as well. At the half, Middletown 7, Susquehanna Township 7. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Daly's Golf on East Main Street in Middletown does everything automotive, tune-ups, inspection, tires, exhaust, brakes, even towing. Daly's Golf is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until
Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, proudly serves the Middletown area. Michelle and Doug Lutz are proud Blue Raider alumni. Michelle's Creations, with you in mind, has flowers, centerpieces, bouquets, wreaths, and they're a member of the Teleflora Network. Their number is 717-944-5425 or online at creationswithyouinmind.com.
Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, his number 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Gingrich Memorials is the oldest business in Middletown, celebrating 100 years of service to the community. Gingrich Memorials has their own art staff and in-house laser, and they wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season. That's Gingrich Memorials, 568 North Union Street in Middletown.
We're at halftime, 7-7, Middletown and Susquehanna Township. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, and Sam Kostoff. Glad to have you along here. At a, it's got that windy mist, that light. It's not, I don't call it rain. It's more like a
it's
mist.
Annoying.
Yeah,
it's annoying. It's. I'd almost rather have rain at this point, if I'm playing, because what you have is just something that's just sort of lingering there, as opposed to, hey, this is the water that's actually coming down. It's sneaky slick out there with the mist like it is and with the rain, and we've seen some remnants of that here with some of the play in the first half.
Hey, don't forget, this is last weekend. Get your reservations in here in the next few days for homecoming. All right, we've got a few days up until later this week that Earl Bright will take those reservations for the homecoming dinner at Middletown High School on October the 11th. And a nice night at Middletown High School, buffet dinner there at 6 till 7:15, and then we'll have the program from the alumni and the Hall of Fame induction. After that, on Friday night, October the 11th, the Middletown High School. And you can just call Earl at 717-944-5454. Or you can go to our Facebook page or go to the Raider Web alumni page and get that form where you can send in your donations, your membership dues to the Alumni Association, and you can register for the dinner or make that reservation with them this weekend. The Alumni and Hall of Fame induction, Friday, October the 11th at Middletown High School. We want to see you there. The 64-65 team coming back. Several members of that will be in attendance, including the sons of former head coach Russ Trimmer. So we look forward to seeing you there. Always a great night. And then, of course, all of our inductees, this year's Hall of Fame induction. Tomorrow we've got college football, Middletown's now a college, Lebanon Valley College at FDU Florham. Fairleigh Dickinson, Florham campus. That's over in Madison, New Jersey. In fact, it's like a mile or two away from the Jets practice facility.
Yes.
And we'll be there tomorrow. Steve will be joining me for that game. 11:45 a.m. with the airtime. An abbreviated All Oldies Saturday. I know you'll be disappointed about that, Brian. Noontime kickoff.
I will not be listening to the Oldies tomorrow anyway. So
you've got a trip to Altoona.
We do.
I thought you still listened on the internet at WMSSFM.com and the TuneIn app, but that's okay.
I will not be tomorrow.
All right.
Usually,
I think we have a Connie Francis song for you tomorrow.
Oh, I will have to find one of my own. Cannot wait.
All right, when we come back, Steve's going to run down your halftime stats. It's 7-7, Middletown and Susquehanna Township. Back with more on the Halftime Show on the Blue Raider Sports Network. The Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
The Middletown Moose Family Lodge 410 is Middletown's family fun center. They have dinners Tuesday through Saturday nights and host activities year-round. Membership is available. The Middletown Moose, located at 100 Mill Street in Middletown. Good luck, Raiders!
Your number one choice for local sports coverage, this is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
Now we are at halftime, 7-7 Middletown in Susquehanna Township. Steve's along with your halftime stats.
All right, first we'll take a look at Susquehanna Township in the first half on the ground. Rakai Seville, 6 carries, 17 yards. Torn Evans, 5 carries for 5 yards. Lex Cyrus, 1 for 5. Xavier Rivera ran it twice, lost 3 yards, but he does have a 4-yard touchdown run in the game. Receiving, Xavier Rivera, 1 for 55. James Colston, 1 for 22. Lex Cyrus, 2 for 17. Zykeer Leaks, 1 for 6. Torn Evans passing, 5 for 11. 100 yards in the first half. Team totals for the Indians on the ground, 14 for 24. 100 yards through the air and 124 yards of total offense for Susquehanna Township in the first half. For Middletown, leading the way on the ground is Gavin Paul, 7 carries, 48 yards. Lewis Roman, 5 for 21. Genesiah Ross, 1 for 6. Harrison Ortiz, 1 for a loss of 8. They also lost 21 yards on a fumble there in the first half. Receiving, Mikaias Zenon, 1 catch, 79 yards. That went for a touchdown. Genesiah Ross has 3 catches for 3 yards, but it was Ross's only pass on that flanker option that was complete for 79 yards and the touchdown. Harrison Ortiz in the first half, 3 for 6 for 3 yards and 1 interception in the first half. Middletown on the ground, team totals 15 carries for 46 yards, 82 yards through the air, total offense of 128 yards of offense in the first half for Middletown. Scoring recap, Middletown struck first on that flanker option. Nikaias Zenon, 79-yard reception from Ross. Kaiser's extra point made it 7-0. Susquehanna Township would respond when they got the football back. Xavier Rivera capped it off with a 4-yard touchdown run. And Aaron Ramsey's extra point made it 7-7. And we are still there here at halftime.
I tell you, I got some smart fans here at Township because few of them brought some of their tents up to the very top of the stands. They put them down low. They didn't lift them up high, but they have them sitting down low. And the whole upper bleachers, the first four rows, nicely covered. Well done.
I've seen that backfire, though.
Yes, if a wind picks up, yes.
We were at Wyatt Missing. You guys weren't there. You guys were at Albright that day.
Right.
But it was a windy, rainy day, and they had them on the roof. And one of them flipped down. Luckily, nobody was sitting under it, or else it would have clubbed somebody.
That's why you always get the bungee cords out. You've got to secure all four legs, and then you're okay. Or you do it like we did back in the old days, and you just tough it out in the conditions, no matter what they are.
Yeah.
Like we say here in the press box.
Right. We tough it out inside. Right. Well, talking about toughing it out, we mentioned this again, the Rothrock Foundation. If you're not familiar with them, rothrockfoundation.org, rothrockfoundation.org, or just Google Rothrock Foundation Facebook page. They'll be announcing here this evening where they plan to go set up in support of hurricane victims and those people who are helping to work, clean, and help the victims of the hurricane. They have done this several times over the years, going to bad spots many times in Florida, and they are headed down. And check out their Facebook page, and your monetary donations are certainly appreciated to them. Of course, the Red Cross as well. for all the different states right now that are going through all the flooding issues. I think last count I saw was like 40 or 41 mm-hmm. deaths out of this hurricane. But the Rothrock Foundation and your generous donations keep them going and helping others. And so make sure you check out their Facebook page and their website and help them, because they're going to be helping a lot of people here in the coming weeks. We're at halftime. We'll step out. It's Middletown 7, Susquehanna Township 7. We'll have your updated out-of-town scoreboard when we come back here more at halftime on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Gingrich Memorials of Middletown is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Gingrich Memorials is the oldest business in Middletown, celebrating 100 years of service to the community. Gingrich Memorials has their own art staff and in-house laser, and they wish the Blue Raiders good luck during the season. That's Gingrich Memorials, 568 North Union Street in Middletown.
The Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594 is located on East High Street, Middletown. American Legion Post 594 is available for your next party or function. New members are welcome. And don't forget about the dinners and entertainment on Friday and Saturdays at Dominic D. DeFrancisco Memorial American Legion Post 594. They've got a Facebook page for more information.
The Brownstone Cafe is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. They cook up a wide selection of pasta, steaks, seafood, salads, and desserts. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Tuesdays. That's the Brownstone Cafe of downtown Middletown, a proud sponsor of Blue Raider Athletics.
The Middletown Moose Family Lodge 410 is Middletown's family fun center. They have dinners Tuesday through Saturday nights and host activities year-round. Membership is available. The Middletown Moose, located at 100 Mill Street in Middletown. Good luck, Raiders!
We're back at halftime, 7-7. Middletown and Susquehanna Township. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy with you. And a windy, misty evening here in Harrisburg in Susquehanna Township. Well, what do you change in the second half, Brian? Obviously, there's, you know, a little conservative at time on the part of both these teams, and neither one wants to make that deadly mistake.
Yep, and that's why in the second half, the team that plays cleaner, I think, wins this football game. So, I mean, it comes down to execution. I don't know that anyone makes huge adjustments. Because if you look at what Middletown did in the first half, they hurt themselves with some field position things, some snaps that they didn't handle, and just some poor running at times that started once we went along in that second quarter. A couple of those holes started to open up a little bit more, but give Township credit so far. What they've been able to do here in the first half is they were, for the most part, you take out the 140-yard run from Gavin Paul, they really limited this Middletown rush offense that you had to be really worried about coming in, considering they had given up decent yardage in the past. So they've been able to do that. Middletown has to find a way to get that group on track and really find the success that they started getting a little bit more of. On the other side, for Township, they got to catch the football, because when their quarterback does put it on the hands, they've dropped quite a few of them so far today. And, yeah, the conditions are part of that. So it comes down to execution. Middletown in the second half, I think the defensive line has to do a little bit better job of keeping Evans in the pocket. You want him throwing the football under duress as you're closing in on him, as opposed to allowing him to get the outside. I think in this second half, he may be more dangerous as a runner than he is as a thrower, if you allow him to get to the edge, because they're going to be worried about them breaking one big.
But, you know, we don't see him doing any quick passes. And I think it's an opportune time for the Raiders to start sending someone around the edge and try to catch him off guard.
Yes, and you have to figure out when that time is,
right?
Because that same time when they throw the quick hitch, when you've got single coverage, and if somebody misses a one-on-one tackle, you got somebody who goes off to the races. So it's a cat and mouse game. I mean, yeah. You have two teams that right now sort of baiting each other. They're setting up play calls. They're trying to figure out what's going to work. And I think you're going to see Susquehanna Township the second half. I think they're going to go a little bit more with some more shorter passes. They just have to catch the football when they do it, mm-hmm. because you have to figure, if you can establish those short little passes around the line of scrimmage, get some rhythm doing that, then Middletown's going to have to respect it a little bit more, and that's going to open up the opportunity to go deep. Middletown doesn't have the same opportunities with their game plan. They've got to be able to run the football, and if they don't, then that puts a lot more pressure on their passing game, which they do like their passing game. They do like their quarterback and what he does, but it's not something that they would like to thrive on, as opposed to, hey, we can go to that if we need it.
One of the guys who was in the press box was down on the field and was a little more up close on that Lex Cyrus dropped pass, and he said he had it. He actually was moving the ball into himself, but he had possession. He just dropped it, so he thought it should have been a fumble from up here. I called and thought that he was bobbling the whole way, but
he had a better view than us.
He did,
and
yeah.
Quite honestly,
his back was to us.
Had a better view than the official. The thing that you lose a lot of times, you've got officials on the field, and they are also human, and some of them are fantastic athletes, and some of them used to be fantastic athletes. And sometimes you find yourself chasing some of these high school age kids, and you don't get a break. You're out there the entire time. So when they run a play like that, it's entirely possible that you don't have an angle on anything because you're chasing the play and trying to run it down. So he may not have gotten a good look at it either.
Now it's still 7-7, and Steve has your out-of-town scoreboard look.
Well, he's trying to. He's got to clear off half the screens because he's got so many things to drop.
I had a pop-up just come up right when you decided to throw it at me here. So we got it now, and here's the scores as we have it. Steel High leading Line Mountain 21-14. That is at the half.
And Raiders get Line Mountain next week up there.
Correct. Halftime, Boiling Springs lead Big Spring 14-7. That one is over at Boiling Springs.
And that's a future opponent for Middletown, too, is Big Spring, after Middletown has already handled Boiling Springs this year.
And the hammer in the division looks to be Trinity. They're the only unbeaten team, and they are having no problem with Greencastle. Mercy rule in effect at halftime. It's 35-0.
But let's remember, they also have not played West Perry, Susquehanna Township, or Middletown so far. So those are all three big games that are going to decide the division race.
Juniata up on Susquehanna, 42-0. We have Cumberland Valley leading CD East, who is unbeaten at the half here, 14-13 in favor of the Eagles.
Great story of CD East, though, this year, regardless of what happens there, but they're hanging tough.
Northern leads Waynesboro 20-6. Shippensburg also unbeaten on the season. They're leading Lower Dauphin 14-7 at halftime down in Shippensburg. Wilson over Government of Mifflin, 22-14. York scores, I'll try to ignore those. State College Central Dauphin, they're tied at 7. That is in the second quarter.
For some reason, Central Dauphin always seems to play well at State College. I don't know what it is, and it has not been a great year for CD, but they're hanging tough right now.
Cocalico leading Manheim Central 17-14 at halftime. Why I'm missing is playing Donegal tonight, 28-0. Why I'm missing at the half there, so no surprise in that one. And another team that we will kind of follow, and that's Twin Valley. Brett Myers and his crew, they are number one ranked team in 4A in the state by the Patriot News, for what that's worth. But they're up 28-0 on Northern Lebanon here at halftime.
Agreed.
Hershey over Gettysburg, 27-21. That says fourth quarter. I'm not sure that's right.
I'm not buying that one.
Camp Hill over Halifax, 7-0. McDivitt leads Altoona 21-7 at halftime, and I think that's about all we care to see here.
You brought up that Twin Valley team, who, by the way, is in Middletown's grouping, along with five unbeaten teams right now. A Wyomissing team who finally gets to play a game because they could not find games because no one will play them.
Right.
So they're 3-0. Lampeter Strasburg's 5-0. West York's 5-0. Eastern York's 5-0 coming in this week. And West York and Eastern York play each other today. But Twin Valley's sitting there in the four right now. And these are the scores they've had so far this year. 42-16, 40-10, 69-0, 51-7, 49-7, and they're already up 28-0 in their game this week. And it doesn't look to get much more difficult, but give me 2 weeks from now. On the 11th, we'll be at homecoming things, but Wyoming missing at Twin Valley.
Well, that'll be a good one.
Would be interesting. And then the week after that, Lampeter Strasburg will host Twin Valley, so it'll get tougher soon.
And the assistant coach for Brett Myers is Dennis Etze. Here's kickoff Middletown from our left to right, taken at the 14-yard line, returned back on the near side. I believe that's Kern, out of bounds near midfield. And that time it was Galt.
Yeah, they just came back the other side of the field. They tried to positionally kick it one side, but the return was set up over here to the near side of the field, and they were able to outflank Middletown and get down the field very well, and excellent field position to start off the second half.
So he went out at the 46, Township zone. That's where they'll start, going from our right to left from their own 46. Seville's in the backfield as the running back to the right of Evans. You've got the double slot. Leeks and Brown on the near side, but they're going to hand the Seville up the middle. Look at Submarine right around midfield and tackled at the 49 of Middletown, gain of four.
Hartwick again, and I think by the end time we hit the end of this game, you're going to have Hartwick and Singleton Brown on the two opposing sides, who are probably going to have somewhere around a combined 30 tackles between the two of them. They just always seem to be around the ball wherever it is.
Cyrus and Kern are on the opposite side, but they go Seville again, running it up the middle, finds a hole to the 40, near side, to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, and knocked out by Roman. Stops a touchdown there. It'll be a first and goal to go for the Indians.
40-yard run, and the reason it's a 40-yard run is because he goes up the middle initially, and the right side of Middletown's defense over pursuit, trying to get to the inside. That allowed him to bounce it around them to the outside, and there was nobody there in support. And he just speeds down the sideline. Roman saves the touchdown. We've seen the Middletown defense stiffen once here before when Johnson recovered a fumble in the first half. Can they do it again?
First and goal at the 9 of Middletown. Hand off Seville. Looks to go left. Now he goes to the right. Gets back to the line of scrimmage. No gain. Brings up second and goal at the 9.
Great read from Hartwick. He tried going up the middle. It was stuffed up very well. Great job by Toro and Waits on the interior of that Middletown defensive line to just stand people up inside. They're getting double-teamed, but they held their ground, and it forced him to bounce to the outside. And when he ended up doing that, Hartwick was able to read it, and he dropped Seville for no gain.
Second and goal at the 9. This time Seville is to the left of Evans. He'll sweep it right, looks for the hole, and again, Middletown, great containment on that outside, stops him at the line.
Not the strength of this team running the football around the edge with Seville. They are either better off with Seville up the middle, or when Evans fakes that and then tucks it and goes himself on the outside, but they just don't move quickly enough as an offensive line most of the time to get to those spots. So Middletown able to outflank them, string that play along until there was support to stop the run. And again, not much there.
Third and goal at the 9. Watch for Cyrus. He's on the short side of the field, right side, all alone. Evans in the pocket, throws left side, incomplete. Was looking for the out there across that middle from Lex Cyrus, who was going right to left, but incomplete. Fourth down. They'll bring the field goal unit in.
If you trust your kicker, this is where you got to use him, because they went nowhere on three downs. Great job by the Middletown defense. They wanted to slip Seville out of the backfield, and Middletown was waiting for it, had somebody staying home, and that forced him to go off that initial read.
So Ramsey comes out onto the field.
Holds very important here, too, because remember, it's slick, and it's usually somebody who has not handled the ball a lot in the game.
On the right hash, Millett will hold. This one's kicked high, and it is not going to make it. It's even wide to the right, down that right hash, and it's no good. We're still tied at 7.
Steph Millett did the best he could, because that snap, he did a great job of just getting the ball. The snap was behind him. He had actually reached almost behind his back, tried to pull the ball up, but by that time your kicker's moving forward, and it looked like how he kicked that one, Millett's hand may have been on the front of the ball and helped block it.
Yeah. Raiders take over at their own 20-yard line.
Dodging another one there.
They'll go with Roman in the backfield next to Ortiz. Roman's going to carry it off the left side, following some blocking, but not getting much out of it off left tackle. Maybe up to the 21, give him only a yard.
Remember, the first half of this game, Middletown between the tackles struggled early. It took a little while until they started wearing down the Indians. You've had halftime. You've had a team have a chance to rest. And this township defense has done a really nice job so far tonight of limiting Middletown between the tackles.
Second and nine. Raiders look a little confused about what they're going to run here. The guys moving in different positions. Now they look like they're set. Eight on the play clock. Roman to the right of Ortiz. Roman's going to get the carry up the middle, driving, pushing up to the 25. He'll pick up a few more.
Ran essentially what's a counter there, because you send Ross in motion with the jet sweep action, and as he's coming over to the right-hand side, and we're going to have a face mask call against Susquehanna Township, which is going to give Middletown a first down. 15-yarder coming up.
And they had to push that play. You don't want to give up a timeout early
no.
on here. You in this type of a game, you've got to save them.
But they also want to extend the play clock as much as they can. So they want to take a lot of time. They also want to be safe. They timed it pretty perfectly at that point. And Ross coming over, the defense looking in the backfield, seeing him go over, and they bring the running back the other way, and somebody grabbed the mask.
15-yard penalty moves it up to the 40-yard line. It's a first and 10. Middletown at its own 40, tied at 7. Roman to the right of Ortiz. Now they all turn. They've got a trips on that left side. Three receivers there. Wing on the right. On first and 10, Ortiz, quick pass, far side, Zenon, up to the 45, gets pulled and pushed and still able to pick up several yards. They're going to mark him all the way up at the 48, so give him 8.
A good job on a first down, getting the ball out quickly to the side. Zenon, excellent open field runner, had both Queen as well as Ross over there to try to help block, but because there were three receivers, they were overloaded defensively that way and were able to get through, but still a good 8-yard gain.
Second and 2. Handoff this time to Roman, following the blocking again off the left side. Gets enough for the first down across midfield to the 49 of Susquehanna.
Exactly the way they want to have this drive go. Already a couple first downs on this drive. Trying to grind it out between the tackles. Mix in a little bit of the passing game. And let that clock run. Less time that Susquehanna Township has the football, the less explosive they can be.
7:38 to play in the third. Tied at 7. It's a first down and 10 Middletown at the 49 of Susquehanna Township. And they all look to the sideline for the call. Raiders go with that tight trips on the left side. They're in close. Roman to the right of the quarterback, Ortiz. He'll sweep it to the left side. Dodges one tackler, but not the others. Swarm of red there, holding him to no gain on the carry. It'll bring up a second down and 10 for Middletown.
Yeah, Roman, not usually the guy who goes around the outside, but there was nothing inside at all. They were trying to get him off the tackle area, but he just had to keep bouncing it over. Good job. Defensive line once again for Susquehanna Township with just allowing nothing initially on the inside.
Slot on the near side with Queen and Ross on second down and 10. Split on the far side. Again, they go to Roman trying to run it to the left. Township not fooled right there on him, and they stuff him after a gain of only a yard.
But it's a very conservative game plan right now. You have a 7-7 lead, and we saw both teams in the first half be very conservative about things.
Mm-hmm.
So now third down, the question is, how much do you trust your quarterback down the field? What sort of pass play are you looking for most likely here? And where's Gavin Paul? Because that's the guy that a lot of people would be expecting here on these on this sort of down and distance.
Third and 9 at the 48. Ross in motion. Hand off again, Roman. This time he'll bounce it to the right side. Bounces off a couple guys, drives to the 40. He's going to be just a yard shy of the first down. Cool. I think you line up here quick and you go for it.
I agree that you go for it.
I don't think you would, you know, and so many teams over the years for Middletown would have that ready to go. Something like this, boom, line up, quick snap, and take it. Instead, they're going to wait, but they're going to go for it here on fourth and one at the 40.
And it used to be something where you would quarterback sneak something like this, but you don't do that now because they're in the gun all the time.
Now it's Ross in motion. Township jumped. Susquehanna Township bid on it.
Well, and what they bid on was that every single time in this game that Middletown sends Ross in motion, as soon as Ross is almost at the line of scrimmage, they have snapped the football. This time, the hard snap count as Ross gets there, and three guys jump across the line of scrimmage. Great job by the offense holding their water.
First and 10 at the 35. Handoff Roman again trying to go right. Only gets a yard to the 34. So it brings up a second down and nine.
Trying to look for the flag right now, too, and see where that's blowing because we do see the mist.
I like to open up the window here, and it's still blowing. Heck, Brian, it's blowing all over the place.
Okay, so.
I still think it's going against Middletown.
A swirling wind is what you're saying, which is not going to help a field goal attempt.
No, Middletown's going against most of that wind right now. Second down. Quarterback keeper Ortiz trying to follow Roman up the middle and just gets back to the line of scrimmage. I don't know, that had to be a busted play.
I don't know that it was, but it wasn't pretty, whatever it was, and they definitely need to get some yardage here.
And on the offensive play caller, assistant coach J.J. Ortiz. You wonder as a quarterback, you go back at nighttime with Dad, why did you call that?
I think there's a lot of calls that Dad's made so far this year that son can say thank you very much. It's been very, very opportune, some of the play calling we've had this year.
We're going to have to ask him, talk to him one of these days about that. Handoff, Roman trying to go left, and he's stuffed right at the line. Just pile drive straight down. Now it's a fourth down and nine at the 34 of Susquehanna Township.
I know what they were probably trying to do there. That's a running play, knowing you're going to be going on fourth down unless you can get it close enough. And now here comes Gavin Paul. He'll come in place of Adiel Johnson to put both Roman and Paul on the field. This is where, you know what, this is not a bad time to try the seam.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times that seam pass is open, where you had so much attention on the outside, and you sneak right behind the linebackers.
Or will it be another pooch punt? Ortiz rolling left, has time, looking, now scrambles to the far side, going for the angle, and he may have the first down near the 25. Out of bounds, first down. They'll move the chains.
That is a fantastic read by Harrison Ortiz, who is not known for his running. On the season, Harrison Ortiz has run for, I believe, I could look at Steve's statue, but I'm not going to because it's less than 20 yards. He just doesn't keep the ball very often.
But remember, sacks are included in rushing.
I understand that, but he still doesn't run the ball himself very often, and that may be one of the longest runs he's had all year.
Yes, first, he does not.
First and 10 at the 25, Gavin Paul with the handoff. Again, they're trying to grind it up the middle, and he has nowhere to go. I'm kind of surprised by that one. But
I also think here, too, in a game like this, and this has been a very long, time-consuming drive that has worked away a lot of this third quarter, and they are at least close to what they would think would be field goal range.
13th play, all right. 2:24 to go in the third, tied at 7. Middletown a second and 9 at the 24. Ross in motion. Play action. Ortiz throws it out near side, but down on his knees on the catch was Johnson near the 22-yard line.
And he was wide open over there. If he's able to stay on his feet, he's got another first down bare minimum and may have been able to get all the way, even I won't quite say into the end zone, but down maybe even inside the 10.
Two on the pickup. They're at the 22 of Susquehanna Township. It is a third down and seven.
Can't afford a mistake here.
Mm-mm.
You have an opportunity to potentially try for points.
Queens White on the right side. In motion goes Ross from the far side. Ortiz rolling left, throws the out pass, has a man far side. Ross will catch it, but goes out of bounds. Did he get enough for the first? I think he's just shy.
He's short, and now this is question time.
Yeah, fourth and one.
With a swirling wind, do you go for the field goal, or do you trust your offensive line on fourth down and one? And I know most coaches, this is a we're going for it on fourth down. If we can't pick up a yard running our football, then we don't deserve it.
Gavin Paul is back there next to Ortiz. Fourth and one at the 16. And again, Middletown almost that time got Township to bite on it, but they don't. The Raiders are going to call a timeout. Yeah, they wanted to see if that would work first. Now they're going to talk about what they really want to do. Do they want to run it here? We'll step out. 1:21 to go in the third. Tied at seven. Middletown and Susquehanna Township back on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Jack's Auto Sales is a family-owned business since 1986. Jack's Auto Sales deals in used cars and trucks. They also have a five-bay repair garage. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 to noon, or by appointment. Jack's Auto Sales is located at 2189 West Harrisburg Pike on Route 230. Their number is 944-7363 or online at jacksautosales.net.
I just opened up the door here in the press box just to see what that wind's doing. Yeah, it's blowing against Middletown and even sideways a little bit. But the Raiders have a fourth and one at the 16 of Susquehanna Township, and they're lining up to go for it here on fourth down again.
They brought Avery Waits into the game, the 300-plus-pound sophomore who plays defensive line, and he is lining up as a blocking back right behind the right side of the offensive line.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Indians call a timeout here just once they see how Middletown's lining up. But what's the delay? Officials are talking to the coaches about something. 7-7 our score, 1:21 to go in the third. Middletown and Township. They're just saying that they're making him eligible here since he's lining up as kind of a wing back.
He's not getting a carry. I'm going to tell you that for sure.
All right, fourth. Ortiz trying to find a hole, dives forward and has enough right on the 15.
I think that was Roman, to be honest with you. That was Roman.
Oh. You are correct.
And it's going to depend on the spot.
Where did he dive?
I think he was short.
I thought it was right on the line.
Because the ball came forward after it looked like he was down. But it's where they see it.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's on the line. And ladies and gentlemen, they're going to measure this with the actual chains, which, it's right on the line, I have no idea how they can't figure it out.
We don't see the chains that often anymore.
It's right on the line. I mean, if the chain goes right to the line, it's a first down. It's not that hard.
First down, Middletown. Yeah, most times they don't try measurements anymore. If it's close, they're usually waving them on, but we're in the time of the game.
Fourth down and one, you're going to do it.
First and 10 now for Middletown at the 15 of Susquehanna Township. They go with Lewis Roman back there to the right of Ortiz. Ross in motion, hand off Roman, left side, finds a hole off left tackle inside the 10-yard line, spinning his way down close to the 5, and a late flag is thrown down near the goal line. They say he was down. I can't even tell where they're marking him on the field.
They had some pushing and shoving after the play where a couple of the guys who were blocking and attempting to get in on the tackle got tangled up. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this one be offsetting, but I think we know how this has usually gone for this team lately. And in this game, execution, we said, is going to be important.
Well, the official gives the personal foul against Middletown. And nothing against the Indians.
There you go. That's, you know, you know something was going on.
Mm-hmm. And now they're marching it back.
And you know that they always see usually the second guy. So I think it was Zenon who came out of there all fired up about something. And now this moves the ball well back, but it is still first down.
So it's on the 20.
After the play, though.
After the play. Yeah,
down.
Roman again. Carry, big hole, left side, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Lewis Roman. About a 23-yard touchdown run, and Middletown has taken a 13-7 lead.
And that all is because of a time-consuming drive that they kept that defense on the field, kept grinding, kept grinding, kept grinding, and finally at the very end, as the drive is winding to a close, Lewis Roman finds that crease. I think they ran the same play they did before.
Off left tackle.
Saw something they liked, went right back to it. Joe Gassard over on that left-hand side helped open the hole, and the Blue Raiders had the lead again.
He's the senior. He's the beast. Kaiser's extra point kick is on the way, and it is good. Will step out, 50 seconds to go. In the third, Middletown 14, Susquehanna Township 7, back on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Middletown Lumber, in business since 1955, is now stocking redwood. Still your local source for hardwoods to framing lumber, western red cedar to custom decks. They're located at 2 Clinton Avenue in Middletown. It's Middletown Lumber at 717-944-4005 or online at middletownlumber.com.
Tim Clouser of RE/MAX Realty Select is a proud supporter of the Blue Raiders. Tim Clouser has buyer and seller representation, real estate appraisal, new construction, and more. Tim Clouser, RE/MAX Realty Select, is number 717-526-4300 or online at tclouser.harrisburghomes.net.
Middletown has taken a 14-7 lead on Susquehanna Township and using a lot of clock. 50 seconds left in the third. Landon Kaiser kicking off a squib and hits off a Township player, and the other has to fall on it at the 30-yard line. So that's where the Indians will take over.
That was a 17-play, 80-yard, 8 minutes and 54-second drive. And when I talked to Scott Govern before the game today, that's one of the things he said. We need to have long, time-consuming drives that keep them off the field. And that is the perfect execution of that plan.
You know, Brian, and you mentioned how twice Roman ran to that left side and following behind Joe Gassard. Here's a senior who had the opportunity during that hazing incident to go to Steel High, and he didn't. Talk about that in a second. First down. Handoff. Seville weaves his way up the middle, across the 35, has the first down up at the 40-yard line for a first down. But he had the opportunity, Gassard did, and decided, no, he wanted to stay at Middletown because he's also a wrestler.
Sure.
And wrestling is maybe slightly more important to him. But, you know, he has stayed with it, and a three-sport athlete.
But so many of these guys had opportunities and could have done different things, but they wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the pride they have in this program.
First and 10. Quick pass. Far side. Evans onto the right side. Kern across midfield. Breaks a tackler and then out of bounds on that far side. They'll mark him out of bounds all the way at the 35 of Middletown. And now starting to see a little bit more of Susquehanna opening up, a little more urgency on their part.
Your other problem right now is that you've got Susquehanna Township being able to run the football now, and as soon as that opens up, all of a sudden, now the passing game is going to have a little bit more chances. First catch of the game for Kern.
We'll step out after three quarters. Middletown 14, Susquehanna Township 7, back on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
J&J Pizzeria and Grill is open for carryout daily from 10:30 a.m. until 10 p.m., Sundays 11 to 9. Pizza, subs, bowlies, salads, and fries. Their number is 717-944-1313. That's J&J Pizzeria and Grill, 288 East Main Street in Middletown.
Wow. Welcome back to Roscoe Warner Field. John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. 14-7 Middletown lead, but the Indians are now driving into Middletown territory at the 35.
And what it is a response drive here from Susquehanna Township and desperately need to get something going here anyways, but also to keep the Middletown offense off the field.
And Middletown just jumped off. They got the Indians earlier to jump. This time the Indians get Middletown to jump. They'll move it to the 30-yard line.
Both defensive tackles.
Now you're in a bend-but-don't-break situation.
Sure. And they've done that a couple times so far in this game in the red zone.
Seville to the right of Evans. Nope, it's going to be Rivera back there. He'll get the handoff. Nowhere to go for him. Try going up the middle. Try pushing it left.
Loses a yard. Yeah. Great pursuit that time. You had Jaisir Smith holding the line on the right-hand side. Elijah Einzig coming from the left-hand side. They converse in the backfield, dropping for a loss of a yard, which, with the penalty, now makes it second down and six. But still, it's a successful play on that first down for the defense.
Second and six at the 31 of Middletown at the double slot. Quick pass near side. Cyrus caught at the 30, 25, 20, weaving his way down near the 10-yard line and pushed out of bounds for a first down. They give it to the speedster, and it's a first and goal to go for the Indians on the 10.
They haven't used it enough. The quick hitch on the outside. Middletown's going to bail out most of the time and give him room, and they block it pretty well, and Cyrus makes things happen. Unfortunately for them, this is the one place on the field they have not been good at all, at the 10-yard line. They've been here twice in this game with first and goal, and neither time have they gotten points.
Rivera is back there. He'll get the carry up the middle, finds a hole at the 5, moves to his left, still pushing, stuffed it about the 2, and stopped there.
They never brought him down, but he just kept going. Very elusive. Yeah, you just look at the moves that he makes, and he does not take hard contact from people as he's going through the hole and is able to get all the way down to that 2-yard line. And now you got to figure, this is where your power running should come in.
Instead, they're going to go to a trips right.
Now watch number 90. Their H-back has a couple touchdowns this year. Wouldn't be a surprise to see him go in the backfield and have a chance here.
Twins to the left. He does go into the backfield, and they try to push it up the middle, but he gets nothing.
Yeah, but he fell forward. So they got enough of the surge to get him down to the one. They put him in.
Well, they called a touchdown. Took him a moment.
He wasn't in, John.
No, I didn't think
so. His knees came down to the ground behind the play, and the guy who was shielded off by everybody on the near side called the touchdown. The guy who had the view of it bailed out of it. He just wimped out on the call because he's the one who had the better look, and he was marking him down short.
So Riley with the touchdown of 2 yards. Ramsey's in. Crucial extra point kick. This one is on the way, and it is good, and we're tied up. We'll step out. 10:25 to go here in the fourth. Middletown 14, Susquehanna Township 14. Back on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is a proud sponsor of Middletown Athletics. Trophies, plaques, t-shirts, promotional items, and much more. Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is located at the Square on Main Street in Hummelstown or online at hughesawards.espwebsite.com.
Early here in the fourth, Indians made that one look too easy. They tie this game at 14.
March right down the field. You might want to let them know that they don't have to only do that when they're playing catch-up, because Middletown scored a touchdown in the first half, and immediately Township goes right down the field, scores a touchdown in response. Second half, Middletown scores a touchdown, Township goes right down the field in response. At some point, you want to play from ahead, and they are not doing that yet. That drive, a 6-play, 70-yard drive, and just took 2 minutes and 6 seconds off the clock to get it in the end zone.
Another short kickoff, and Johnson will catch it with a fair catch at the 38-yard line. And the Raiders' offense comes back out onto the field. This time they'll put Gavin Paul out there at running back.
Well, they had Roman run most everything in the last series. So now they're bringing Paul out. You know, are they continuing to just mix up these running backs and just keep guys fresh and hopefully continue to wear down the defense?
Slot to the right side, Gavin Paul trying to run it up the middle, and again swarmed on by a sea of red. No gain on the carry.
They brought extra guys. You take a look right now at the line of scrimmage. There are 10 guys for Susquehanna Township right around the line of scrimmage. And what that means is you've got guys coming, and they are not respecting your passing game in the least right now. Okay. They know you're going to run the football, and they send extra guys to try to stop it.
Second and 10 from their own 39. Trips on the left side this time for Middletown. Now they'll pause and look to the sideline for the call again.
The hitch to Ross is open over here. There's only two defenders and two blockers for Ross if they want it.
Ortiz will quickly throw near side, but that ball did get tipped because it took like a curveball move on him, incomplete.
It didn't get tipped. He just threw it poorly. Yeah. That's exactly what I saw. And they went for Xenon over there on the hitch pattern.
Yeah, the play clocks are currently out. So they have stopped.
There's a flag on the play, though, too, John. So the question is what that flag is going to be. Pass interference, Middletown. That would be. So what that call is your.
Like a screen.
When you set up that play on the outside, your receivers cannot make contact with the defenders and block them before the ball is caught. And that happened for Middletown. And pass interference is a 15-yard penalty. So that is a huge blow for Middletown here.
All the way back to the 24-yard line. Second and 26. They've got Queen split on the near side and a slot on the right side. Roman is back in at running back. He lines up to the right of Ortiz. He'll get the carry again, trying to run it off the right side. And Pyle drives a few guys backwards up to the 28. I'm surprised they didn't try maybe a quick pitch out to him.
Nope. That's just very consistent and conservative, trying to grind and looking at the penalty situation and realizing some bad could happen here, and your defense for the most part has played well. I don't know how risky they're even going to be here on third down.
Yep, third and long. Ortiz rolling right now, throws it back near side to Roman. He'll catch it up the middle. He's got 35 up to the 40, and tackled up at the 44. He has stopped several yards shy of the first down, but made up a lot of room to get back. Kind of the play they used last week against Wes Perry.
Very similar. One extra guy for Susquehanna Township. They had two guys over there trying to stop that, which forced the play inside as opposed to allowing Roman to go outside, which he did last week against Wes Perry in the game-winning touchdown. So they were able to make that stop. And that offensive pass interference absolutely killed this drive.
Taylor to punt for Middletown. Gets a good boot on this one, but this one took off for him and goes into the end zone.
That's okay. That is much better than what he did in the first half.
That's right.
And you've got him with a kick that ends up going.
He's got the wind to his back.
56 yards is how far that kick goes into the end zone. Still a net of 36. Middletown's going to take that every day of the week.
And that's also good to know that with that wind to the back, and it's probably blowing a good, I want to say 15 here, 12 to 15. I'll look at what the apps are showing.
It increases your place kicker's opportunity, which if you know where your place kicker can go and where you're comfortable using them, add 5 and maybe with adrenaline, maybe even as much as 7 to 10 yards because of that wind.
And the Indians are throwing into the wind as they're going left to right. And we get a stoppage.
Xenon jumped offside. That's why you don't have these defensive backs. You don't have them blitz because they get too excited because they don't do it very often. He goes 5, and they'll take him right out of the game.
Up to the 25 now.
They were trying to sneak them on first down. They thought that Township would go for something big there, so they were coming with the blitz to try to surprise them.
Cyrus lines up on the near side. They've got slot right and left. Quick pass, Evans to the far side, and a first down by Jared Kern up across the 30 up to the 36.
Well,
pickup of 11.
But they finally figured out, and I don't know why it takes this long. I mean, you've got all this speed, and Middletown is deathly afraid of you with this speed. And why you're not throwing more and more hitch patterns to force them to come up, I don't understand. But they're just starting to figure it out now.
First and 10, this time it's Seville with a run across the 40 and close to a first down. Up at the 47, they'll move the chains again. And this Indian offense is starting to catch on now.
They figured it out.
Yeah.
And because of all the attention, they're spreading the formation, which means you definitely, at most, can have seven guys in the box if you're crazy enough to try to play this team one-on-one on the outside.
First and 10 from their own 47. Quick pass near side. Cyrus slips down. He caught it, wanted to take off, and goes down and loses 2 yards back to the 45-yard line.
It's open. And that time he just slipped. And the benefit of the field helping out with the slickness. Because that's what was making the tackle. They had it set up pretty well. He would have had to make one person miss over there. But he's done that enough on his career that you would think that he had a chance.
7:07 to play in the fourth. Tied at 14. It's a 2nd and 12 now for the Indians at their own 45. They've got twins right and left. Seville is to the right of Evans. He'll get the carry up the middle, finds a hole across midfield, picks up several to the 49 of Middletown. It's a pickup of about 6 or so, and it brings up a 2nd down and 6, or rather
third
a
down.
3rd down and 6 at the 49 of Middletown.
But Middletown's been bringing an outside blitz because they're thinking about trying to get to the quarterback and also maybe shut down the potential of these passes to the outside. That's where the gash to the inside that they've been running has been effective.
3rd and 6. Evans, quick pass near side to Cyrus. Caught near the 50. Gets the first down as he's driven out of bounds at the 43-yard line of Middletown. And 1st and 10 for the Indians. Moving the chains with 6:18 to play here in the fourth in a tie game.
And you can keep going with this over and over again right now. You can just keep throwing this short little hitch pattern. And Middletown, how do you answer it? I mean, that's where you have to find a way to get pressure or have one of your DBs take a chance. And if you do that, you're susceptible deep.
Mm-hmm. First down. Evans, handoff again. Up the middle, Seville breaks one tackle at the 40. Hit from behind at the 35 and has the first down at the 33-yard line.
Einzig makes the stop. Hartwick, a rare miss in the hole on an open field tackle. He was there in position about 3 yards down the field, and Seville has gotten some rhythm now with his run. He was able to juke him and get outside with it.
He's got 100 now for Seville, and now we get a timeout for Middletown. 5:45 to play here in the fourth, tied at 14. We'll step out on the Blue Raiders Sports Network.
Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is open from noon to midnight 7 days a week. The kitchen is open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Membership information is available. That's VFW Post 1620, located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown.
Your number one choice for local sports coverage. This is Super 91, WMSS Middletown.
Tomorrow we've got football for you, 11:45 a.m. pregame show, noon kickoff, Lebanon Valley College at FDU Florham. FDU is 3-0, LVC 2-1. Steve Leedy and I will be along for that game. Next week, Middletown at Line Mountain, Friday night. We'll be on the air at 6:40. Stephen Bryan will have the call of that game. 1st down and 10, Susquehanna Township at the Middletown 33. Evans in the pocket, has time, throwing deep down the middle on a post pattern, almost intercepted, it's incomplete. Roman had the fingertips on it.
And that right there, John, is the reason that Middletown really needs to recognize what happened to that ball and not be as afraid of the deep ball. It was wide open down the field. He had Brown going down the seam. But as he throws the ball into this wind, it just hung and hung and hung, and Roman got his hand on it but couldn't get the second one.
2nd and 10 at the 33. They'll hand it off to Rivera. Nowhere to go up the middle. Hartwick right in there.
Middletown.
And with a couple other players.
Very lucky, though, because they had Ross by himself with two receivers on this near side on that play. And that could have been detrimental if they would have recognized it.
Third and 9 for Susquehanna Township. Just inside the 33 of Middletown. Tie game. Clock at 5:11 here in the fourth. They've got twins right and left. Quick pass, Evans, far side. That is complete to the far side, but not enough for the first down to the 28-yard line.
Went to Kern again, and Kalonic was over there. He was able to force him back towards another defender, but it's fourth down. The defense has done exactly what they've needed to do to have a chance to get this football back, but they are going to definitely go here on fourth down because there's no way you're kicking into this.
Susquehanna Township's going from our left to right into the wind. It's blowing a misty rain, very light misty rain.
Who's towards your money them. Guy? You got to figure it's going to be Cyrus over on this right-hand side, but I don't like the fact that Township, he's on the wide side of the field.
Pass across the middle. It goes to Rivera, trying to break a tackle. No way. He stood up. He will not get it. Raiders read the middle screen, and now we get a late flag. Don't tell me someone got a face mask, and now another late flag.
It's after the play.
And it's coming from right in front of the Middletown bench.
It is, but Hartwick was the guy who made the stop. This should be Middletown football, even if it's unsportsmanlike after the play's over.
Great read by the Raiders. Rivera did all he could to not get tackled.
Georgie Hartwick, once again, makes a great open field tackle. Dead ball, that means that the ball will change hands.
So, personal foul against Middletown. But it is a Raider ball, post possession, so the Raiders will get it. Just going to push them back a little further.
It will push them back, but what that does is it gives them the football. That's the most important thing right now. And if you're the Blue Raiders, now all you're looking for is you're looking at first for some first downs to make sure that Township can't get the ball back with good field position. Then you worry about scoring.
Raiders have had... Well, both teams have had calls against them in this one. I just feel like sometimes we feel like we're getting picked on enough in these games, but we're not down there in the trenches as the Eagles are.
And 100% on that play, you can be rest assured that Middletown was very excited to make that stop on fourth down and have the defense hold, and whatever they did or said after that was what the officials didn't like.
4:04 to play in regulation, tied at 14. Ross goes in motion, but they'll hand it off. Gavin Paul finds a hole up to the 20, gets outside of the 25, now looks to cut back in the middle, near the 30, has the first down at the 30 for Middletown.
And that is some breathing room right away, and it also gets the drive going and the clock going after they restart it after setting the chains for the first down.
And we emphasize again that wind, Landon Kaiser, if he has to kick a field goal, does have that wind to his back right now. It is a first down and 10. Middletown at its own 30. Paul to the right of Ortiz. Ross in motion. Gets the little push pass going to the right side, looking for somewhere to cut up. Flags are thrown. He has nowhere to go. Gets nothing out of it, but it's going to be a hold against Middletown.
And bring it back. Unless you would decline it, but I don't think you declined it here, especially with Middletown not showing a ton in the passing game so far today, or at least not a ton from the passing game with Ortiz throwing the football.
Right. Plus, it might give you a little better field position if you can get it back with a short amount of time remaining on that clock.
That's the main thing that you're worried about if you're Coach Joe Heaton over here on this Susquehanna Township sideline. You are thinking to yourself, if this was a different time period where it's maybe like a minute and a half or so left, maybe you declined it to try to get the football back. But, no, they're definitely pushing Middletown back here.
All the way back to the 20. What's the penalty, Steve, for Middletown in this contest so far?
I have them 9 for 82.
Ugh.
Some of them have been bad timing penalties.
First and 20. Ross in motion. But the handoff, Gavin Paul trying to take it right up the middle, and he is running into a red brick wall there.
He is.
That brings up a second down. But clock that, ticking
that's
at 3 minutes.
That's the key right now. You're in a bad place field position-wise. So you want to move this clock more than anything else, but you still need to be able to pick up a first down here. And if you don't pick one up, you're not feeling good about giving the football back in the field position that you might be.
Second down and 20.
I think you got to throw something here, John.
Yeah, I think so, too. Kevin Paul stays out there, but again, gets the handoff, bobbled it a little bit. It was kind of given to him a little high, and he only gets a couple yards out of it.
And what they did was they forced Susquehanna Township to use a timeout. As Coach Heaton immediately runs out on the field next to the linesman and calls timeout. And now it's third down and very long, and what we've seen today so far in these situations has been screen. That's what they've run a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to run screen here. I think this is either going to be a very, very conservative running play, or they are going to try to air one out here.
John Wilsbach, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy with you. Don't forget the All-Oldie Saturday tomorrow morning, 6:30 to 11:45. Then we've got LVC football for you. And don't forget to check out our friends, RothrockFoundation.org. Rothrock Foundation getting set for some hurricane relief, hurricane assistance down south. They'll be posting that information on their Facebook page. Check that out and ways that you can donate to the Rothrock Foundation. So a third down and 18 for Middletown.
It's more of a running formation than anything else. We've got a flag because Middletown, somebody line up offside?
Where does Susquehanna have?
Illegal substitution against Susquehanna Township. They had 12 on the field.
I was going to say, I started counting just as you said.
I was wondering how many were in the box because it seemed like they were really expecting a running play in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that moves it up to the 27. Now it's a third down and 13. Ross, he's looking to throw again. He has a man. That's Zenon. He waits for it. He cannot pull it in. Incomplete. He had it in the hands. He was pulling it down, but it slipped out down around the 30-yard line. Same play they scored earlier.
I can't believe it worked again.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that didn't happen was that Zenon wasn't able to pull it in because he was actually getting hit by two guys who got burned by the same exact trick play.
Mm. Oh, so close. He had like 5 yards on the two defenders who were trying to keep up on him. That leaves 2:21 on the clock, and the punting unit has to come in for Middletown.
Big punt last time Jaden Taylor was out there. 56-yard punt.
He's got the wind to his back. He's going to need it. Takes this one. Puts it low. Fair catch called at the 33 for the Indians.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's safe.
It's safe.
Look, we've seen both of these teams, and I'm going to put it this way. If both of these teams end up going towards the playoffs at the end of the year, which a lot of football for both these teams has to be played before talking about that, but I think both of these teams need to be a little bit more bold, shall we say, because that's another example of a very conservative decision when he had 10 yards before the next clearest person on the coverage team.
Now let's see what the Indians do starting out at their own 34. Evans looks to pass, then he tries to run, nowhere to go, and just barely made it back to the line of scrimmage. No gain for the Indians.
No, but that's a really, really good play by Adiel Johnson, who's down with cramps after the play. So they're trying to stretch him out so he doesn't have to come out, but he's going to have to. His trainer Sue Beloga is out there to tend to him. That's a play where they pump fake to the outside because Middletown jumped the hitch. So Evans, if he's got the blocking up front, he should be able at that point with the defensive line expecting him to have already thrown the football. They already should have backs turned going. Johnson never gave up on that. Recognized the quarterback still had the football and makes a fantastic open field tackle around the end.
Don't forget to get your alumni reservation in for the homecoming dinner on Friday night, October the 11th at Middletown High School, 6 o'clock. with the dinner, 7:15, the program with the alumni and the Hall of Fame inductions. That's Friday night, October the 11th. Get those reservations in with
I'm
Earl
in.
Bright.
I'm in now.
You're in now? Okay.
Well, I didn't get confirmation yet, but Earl, check your email.
717-944-5454. You can download that alumni form from our Facebook page at WMSS or from Raider Web, or just call Earl or email the alumni. All the information's there for you. And we want to see you out there supporting that 1964-65 team and the several members being inducted on Friday night, October the 11th. We've got a second and 10 now. Susquehanna Township at its own 34. They've got the double slot. Evans, quick pass near side. Cyrus will catch it. Raiders containing near the 30, and they pull him down around the 36, and the clock keeps running. He only picks up two.
Great job by Kane Kalonic, who that time took a really good angle to cut him off. And you also had James Queen doing what he needed to do on that play, which was you had a blocker and Darian Brown out in front, and Queen just held him in place and used him as another barrier that Cyrus couldn't get around.
Cyrus this time lines up as the inside man on the slot. Watch for a slant here on 3rd and 8. Quick pass, Evans. He'll find the slant on the opposite side to Kern. It's a first down up at the 48-yard line.
That's a big play, too, because then you would be giving Middletown the football back if you don't pick that one up. So a very sure-handed catch by Kern sliding across the middle on a ball that was thrown low.
106 and counting here. In the fourth, tied at 14, could be headed to overtime if the Raiders defense can hold this. From their own 48, double slot again, quick pass. Cyrus again breaks past one man down, sprinting down the 30, the 20, the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown, there you go. There's your speedster. We talked about him all game, Lex Cyrus, and a touchdown for the Indians.
And Middletown defense that the same way they have been, except for one thing. They took the wrong angle at the wrong time.
Yeah.
The initial angle that was taken up front was one where you're thinking that this is a mortal human being. And Lex Cyrus, when the game is on the line, no longer is that guy. He is Superman, flying down the field, and no one had a prayer to get to him.
Extra point coming up. There's 44 seconds left on the clock. Snap, hold, kick on the way, and it is good. So the Raiders now backs against the wall. They will have to respond with 44 seconds to go, trailing 21-14. It's explosive.
But this is the reason that they played this way the entire time, because of the fear of just that situation. And they were one play away from getting the football back and having an opportunity to maybe drive for their own situation. And then as soon as they give up the first down, they give up the big play to Cyrus that puts them behind in this game. They're not done yet. We know this
team well. Yeah,
they are not done yet. They have not thrown the ball very well most of this game. Gavin, and now they have to find it.
Zenon and Gavin Paul are the up backs here.
Yeah, because there's no reason to put up backs deep. They haven't kicked off deep all game.
No, and I'm surprised that Roman and Ross are back as far as they are right now.
There's no way with the wind
exactly
that they're going to get the ball that far.
No, they need to come up a little bit closer. Instead, Ramsey's going to kick off for Susquehanna Township. They lead 21-14. He'll approach. He'll boot this one end over end. Roman will take it at the 15, up to the 20, the 25, still standing, gets to the far side, and he's tackled up around the 32-yard line. So 37 seconds to go here in the fourth. Township trying to hold on.
But more importantly here, too, John, we have an injured Blue Raider out there also. That may be Roman.
I think you might be right. It is.
He's writhing in a little bit of pain with his arm, I believe.
Maybe that left
wrist
or left forearm.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be checked out.
And they are telling the teams to go back to the sideline also, John. So that would put Middletown down, a very key player on both sides of the ball. Hopefully it is not as serious as what at least he initially was looking like it may have been.
He's up. Appears to be
okay.
Somewhat okay.
That's a quick bounce up from somebody that was riding the way he was. So maybe just a stinger or something. But Middletown, the other problem you've got here is you have only one timeout left because you've called a couple already this half for other situations.
Let's see what they do from their own 32. Twins on that right side. Ortiz rolling to the right, throws the pass, and it's picked off at the 40-yard line. Far side, John and Gate will go out of bounds. Late flag is also thrown, and the Indians with the interception can ride this one out.
Yeah, Josh Nengate ends up picking that pass off. The sophomore, 6'3", and I don't know that Ortiz ever saw him in the passing lane. He's looking down the outside to one of his outside receivers who's covered by one of the defensive backs.
Is that penalty against Indians?
No, after the play.
Okay.
Yeah. There's been a lot of woofing going on. Everything to this point in those sort of has gone against Middletown, but Township definitely had something to say after that and ends up getting the 15-yard. Ain't going to mean a thing because at the end of the day, Township made the play they needed to, and they got the ball to their money guy when they needed to in the clutch, and Lex Cyrus is going to bail them out here today.
So West Perry beat Susquehanna Township. Middletown beat West Perry, and now Susquehanna Township will beat Middletown.
Well, but we will say this is a lot closer game than the predicted scores of 42-7, 35-7, 35-7 by the people who don't know anything. Maybe you get out of the office every once, you'll find out how good this Middletown team is. They ended up taking this one all the way to the wire.
Yeah, they're writing digital media. They don't know what they're doing.
Nope.
All right, that's the game. We'll come back with a post-game wrap-up. Our score, Susquehanna Township 21, Middletown 14. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is a proud sponsor of Middletown Athletics. Trophies, plaques, t-shirts, promotional items, and much more. Hughes Awards and Screen Printing is located at the Square on Main Street in Hummelstown or online at hughesawards.espwebsite.com.
Middletown Memorial VFW Post 1620 is open from noon to midnight 7 days a week. The kitchen is open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Membership information is available. That's VFW Post 1620, located at 200 Pike Street in Middletown.
It's the 2024 Middletown Area Alumni Association Homecoming Dinner. It takes place on Friday, October the 11th at Middletown High School. Dinner begins at 6 o'clock. The program and Hall of Fame induction begin at 7:15. Registration forms are available in your alumni newsletter or at RaiderWeb.org on the alumni page. For more information, you can contact Earl at 717-944-5454.
DHL Supply Chain is present in 55 countries with more than 140,000 employees and over 1,400 warehouses and offices. Solving problems and creating solutions, it's DHL Supply Chain. Proud supporters of Blue Raider Athletics and Academics.
We're better together at the Middletown Home, a continuing care community for folks of all ages. Enjoy an independent lifestyle in a large apartment with kitchen and laundry. There's assisted living in your own personal apartment, even short-term rehab for a quick recovery, and a health center with 24-hour skilled care. The Middletown Home is the mansion on the hill across from the airport on Route 230. Take a tour and find out more at MiddletownHome.org or check out our Facebook page.
A heartbreaker here for Middletown, but he just knew the Township had the guns at the right moment, and they saved it to the end there, and they're able to capitalize and get the last score on Middletown with their weapon, Lex Cyrus.
Well, that's the thing. You knew that coming in here, that if he gets the ball in his hands and he gets a crease, he's gone. And it took until the 48th minute of this football game for him to get that.
Yeah.
And it's the game-deciding touchdown, and Susquehanna Township gets the win. But again, credit the Middletown kids. They're in every game this year.
Right.
And like we said, you know, the past couple of weeks, this is the most exciting team that I think we've had in I don't know how many years, because they're in every game, and you know, they play to the final whistle.
And they still have a chance for playoffs as long as they finish the season strong.
Yeah, these were the tough games, the West Perry game and the Susquehanna Township game. You thought those were the tough games. Now I think we can see that Trinity's going to be a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, they haven't played the West Perry or the Susquehanna Township or the Middletown of this division yet. So we'll see with them. But Middletown's got East Pennsboro. I'm sure that'll be a competitive game on homecoming. Big Spring, maybe a game that Middletown should win handily,
right?
Because they were losing to Boiling Springs, which Middletown handled the other week. But the opportunities will be there, and I think if at the beginning of the year you would have said, you know, Middletown with a very young team is looking at, you know, a 5-5 record at the end of the year, I think a lot of people would take that. But I think at this point, you know, you can maybe see a 6-4, maybe a 7-3. They can run the table. They got Line Mountain next week,
right?
So Line Mountain, Big Spring, East Pennsboro, and Trinity are the last four games. So we'll see. Let's take a look at the statistics from this game for Middletown. Leading rusher was Gavin Paul, 11 carries, 65 yards. Lewis Roman, 15 for 61, and a touchdown. Harrison Ortiz, 3 keepers for 2 yards. Genesiah Ross, 1 for 2. He also lost 21 yards on a fumble that was unassigned to anybody. Mikaias Zenon, 2 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Genesiah Ross with 4 catches, but just 9 yards. Lewis Roman, 1 for 15. Adiel Johnson, 1 for 2. Harrison Ortiz was 7 of 10 for 34 yards. 2 interceptions in the game. Genesiah Ross threw 2 flanker options. One was complete for 79 yards and the touchdown in the first half. Team totals for the Raiders on the ground, 31 carries, 109 yards, 113 through the air. So balanced attack, but only 222 yards of offense in the ballgame. For Susquehanna Township, Rakai Seville, 14 carries, 100 yards in the contest. Xavier Rivera, 5 carries for 5 yards and a touchdown. Torin Evans had 6 carries for 5 yards. And Jaden Riley, 1 for 2, and had the second touchdown of the game for Susquehanna Township. Receiving, Lexiris, 7 catches, 96 yards, and had the game-winning touchdown. Jared Kern, 4 for 51. Xavier Rivera, 2 for 55. James Colson, 1 for 22. Zakir Leakes, 1 for 6. Torin Evans, 15 of 23, 230 yards, and the touchdown there late. Team totals for the Indians on the ground, 27 for 117 yards, 230 through the air, 347 yards of total offense for Susquehanna Township. Turnovers, Susquehanna Township with 1, Middletown with 2. Penalties, I had Middletown with 9 accepted penalties for 82 yards. Susquehanna Township, 7 for 63. Scoring recap, Middletown got it underway with the flanker option. KS Zenon, 79-yard reception from Genesiah Ross. Extra point made it 7-0. Then Susquehanna Township would respond right away. Xavier Rivera, 4-yard touchdown run. Extra point made it 7-7. We were that way all the way until third quarter with 50 seconds to go in the third. Middletown went on a 17-play, almost 9-minute drive. And Lewis Roman capped it off with a 23-yard touchdown run. Extra point put Middletown ahead 14-7, but as they did the first time, Township would respond right away as soon as they got the ball. 2-minute and 6-second drive. Six plays, 70 yards. Jaden Riley, a two-yard touchdown run. Extra point made it 14-14. And then last minute of the game, Lex Cyrus, little pass out into the flats, and you give him a crease, and there he went. Down the sideline, 52 yards from Evans. Extra point from Ramsey was good. And Susquehanna Township escapes here with the victory, 21-14.
All right, when we come back, Brian Kaiser is going to be standing by with head coach Scott Govern. Some quick comments. We'll run down the out-of-town scoreboard and wrap it up. 21-14, Susquehanna Township over Middletown. Back after this on the Blue Raider Sports Network.
Giant Company, nutrition, health, and pharmacy resources all in one place. And from our table to your table, there's Giant Direct, allowing you to pick up your groceries without leaving your car. Giant Company partners with over 100 local food banks and with Feeding America, the nation's largest organization dedicated to fighting domestic hunger. Giant Company, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
The Hetrick Center has been serving the Middletown area since 1979. The Hetrick Center has chiropractic, physical therapy, aquatic therapy, and massage from a team of non-surgical specialists. They have locations in Mechanicsburg, Mount Joy, Harrisburg, and Middletown. That's the Hetrick Center, proud Blue Raider sponsors.
Susquehanna Township over Middletown. Let's take it down onto the field. Brian Kaiser with Scott Govern.
Brian Kaiser down here on the field with Middletown head football coach Scott Govern. You just gave a very impassioned speech to your team. This is about as close as you can get. And what was your message?
Our message is that we're running a table from here on in. We didn't play our best. They played a good game, and we lose by 7 and 44 seconds left. That just tells us we could play with anyone in our division, and there's no reason we won't play with anyone in our division.
Obviously a gut punch there at the end, and they made the play when they needed to, but it just seemed like there were times just that close, you know, execution ended up costing in the end.
Yeah, it's just we made some mental mistakes tonight. We didn't play our best. We didn't coach our best tonight, but they're correctable mistakes. This isn't like we were getting pushed around and blown out, because if that was the case, we'd have a different discussion right now. I feel like our kids can take anyone on in this division, and we're going to move forward and get better.
And the heart of this team every single week, I mean, to be in so many close games week in, week out, and still come with that same fire, that same grit, that same intensity has to say a lot for the character of these guys.
Absolutely. We're workhorses, and we will continue to get better, and we will continue to overcome this. And I know our kids. We'll be fine next week. We'll be ready to play Lion Mountain next week.
And Lion Mountain is another tough team, but I know at this point, any comer, you guys are ready.
Yes, we are. We're looking forward to anyone at this point.
Congratulations for a great effort this week. We'll get them next week.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
Scott Govern, head coach Middletown. Back up to you, John.
All right. Thanks, Brian. And Raiders are back next week at Lion Mountain. We'll be on the air at 6:40 with that, and we'll see how they're doing this week. And check out the rest of the scoreboard.
Well, that happens to be the first score on my list here. Steel High leading Lion Mountain 43-34, so a shootout at Cottage Hill in the fourth quarter. East Pennsboro leading West Perry in the fourth quarter, 28-14. And Trinity has beaten Greencastle Antrim 42-13 is the final there. Juniata over Susquehanna, 49-7. Big Spring came back and beat Boiling Springs 48-21 tonight. Hershey leading Gettysburg 41-28, that in the fourth quarter. Also in the fourth quarter, Central Dauphin East now has the lead on Cumberland Valley 27-21. Skip through some of these. Wyomissing beating Donegal 42-0. Newport leading Milton Hershey 14-12 in the fourth quarter. Wouldn't have expected that. Schuylkill Valley leads Berks Catholic 14-7. Chambersburg over Cedar Cliff 38-13. Mifflin County over Palmyra 21-0 in the fourth quarter. And Shippensburg just beats Lower Dauphin 24-23. That a final from down from Shippensburg.
To stay unbeaten.
Cocalico has beaten Manheim Central. That was 30-14. I know that was closer earlier. Bishop McDevitt only beats Altoona 28-21 tonight. Mechanicsburg over Redland 35-7. Camp Hill beat Halifax 7-0. Twin Valley 42-0 was the final over Northern Lebanon. And now I'm into other districts, so that's it.
That'll wrap that up. Brian Kaiser, real quick, a good game for this Middletown team. We keep talking about improvement week after week after week, and still a lot of fight in this team and still a lot of football yet to be played for a possible shot at the playoffs.
And that's really what you're playing for now, is to get better each week, to try to keep winning games. You've got two big games on any football player's checklist if you're a senior, and those would be homecoming and senior night that are coming down the road. But yeah, the goal now with the loss here tonight, division title aspiration is definitely out of the window. So now they can focus just on trying to run the table. And the message was very clear by Coach Govern afterwards. He felt like they left something on the table here today that they could have potentially won if they would have executed better. And they still don't feel that they've played their best. And I would agree with them, because what we saw here tonight was a very good effort, but there were definitely mistakes at certain times in this game where you just can't make those mistakes at big times against a team like Susquehanna Township. They will find a way to make you pay. And finally, it took until the end with less than a minute left to go, but they eventually were able to get the advantage that they didn't have the entire game. The only time they led in this game was after that last touchdown for the remainder.
Susquehanna 5-1 on the season. Middletown now 3-3. We're back on the air tomorrow morning, 11:45, with a pregame show, LVC at FDU Forum in Madison, New Jersey, and Middletown next week at Line Mountain in Northumberland County, I should say, just north of Dauphin County, and we'll be on the air at 6:40 with that. I want to thank Sam Kostoff, our studio producer. For Steve Levy, Brian Kaiser, I'm John Wilsbach. Again, the final, Susquehanna Township 21, Middletown 14. You've been listening to the Blue Raider Sports Network.
You've been listening to Blue Raider Sports on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by Giant Company, Hughes Awards, Middletown Area Alumni Association, J&J Pizzeria, Dominic D. DeFrancesco American Legion Post 594, Middletown Lumber, Brownstone Cafe, Jack's Auto Sales, Daly's Golf, Michelle's Creations with you in mind, the Middletown Moose, Middletown VFW Post 1420, Tim Clouser Remax Realty, Gingrich Memorials, the Hetrick Center, and DHL Supply Company. Your home for the best in Middletown sports is WMSS.